Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we gave you Willie Nelson yesterday and Congressman Dennis Kucinich, the most sought-after congressman right now in the media. That is the alternative media. The national media is in news blackout about the impeachment hearing Friday. Big developments there. Congressman Ron Paul is scheduled to be joining us in T-minus 32 minutes from now or 33 after. Also on the Hill, 2 days ago, the aircraft he was on with six other congressmen depressurized, flying out of Houston to D.C. for an airline safety debate and discussion with all the airline problems they've been having. Congressman Ron Paul joining us today to talk about the war, the economy. Are they going into Iran? He gave that speech last week to Congress saying we're on the edge of something really big and something we can't turn back from, bigger than what we've ever seen previously before. So Ron Paul is coming up. Why didn't I ask Jesse Ventura to come to New York City for 9/11 this year? Why didn't I ask Willie Nelson to do that? Why didn't I ask Charlie Sheen to do that, or Woody Harrelson, or any of the other people I know that are prominent? It's because as long as I'm doing my own show, I don't have any anxiety. As long as it's me and my little operation and my websites and what I'm doing, I'm not self-conscious. I'm not worried about anything. But when I start trying to organize big events, it causes me months of hair pulling, fingernail chewing anxiety. And now I'm having that anxiety right now. Of course, a lot of energy really is what it is. Because a caller calls in and says, Willie, would you do a 9/11 truth benefit or an anti-war benefit? And Willie says, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then during the break, he says, yeah, why don't you handle that, Alex? And then he tells me to call him at 10 o'clock this morning, and I did call him. And then I decided to go ahead and call Ventura, got him on the phone. These guys are incredible. One phone call, you get him on the phone. Try getting me on the phone. Thousands of emails, hundreds of calls. I can't even keep track of it anymore. I don't know how they do it. But big developments on that front. Will there be an anti-war / 9/11 truth? Truth stock, whatever you want to call it, anti-war stock, I don't know, folks. I will tell you it looks promising, but I will let you in on that later in the hour. I'll tell you what, I'll do it at 24 after when we come in to the third segment. I will break down what's happening, and this is a message to Kurt Nemo and to Steve Watson. Paul is on vacation, well-deserved, with his girlfriend right now. They're on the continent now. They've left jolly old England, I guess, for a week. So I need Steve and I need Kurt to get an article out on this as soon as I go over it. And I need you to then put updates in the two articles you wrote on both sides so that people know what's going on. Because obviously, I mean, Willie Nelson has had farm aids with hundreds of thousands of people at it, and people from U2, the Beatles, Neil Young. So I've got a lot of stuff to deal with here. It's just amazing. And we're trying to set this up in the next few months. You know, venues, big venues, are usually booked a year, 2 years out. People say I put on the best 9/11 conference ever, and that was torture behind the scenes. 1,200 people showed up to that in L.A. You know, this is something that conservatively we could probably get 50,000 people to. Long way to go, short time to get there. We'll be right back with all the news, ladies and gentlemen, and information. Yeah, this is the tip of the spear, the front lines of the info war. You found it.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You notice as soon as the American people start revolting against the increase in gas prices when it went up to $150 a barrel in the last month, that suddenly oil drops by $25 a barrel overnight. $27 a barrel if you want to get precise from its high of just a month or so ago. Then all of a sudden they start dropping the price, but I predicted this. Every summer, they bring you to a new height. Remember when $2 was just incredibly high, and then $2.50 was unconscionable 2 years ago, and then $3 was just untold? It's each summer. And I predicted gas would go to over $4 a gallon. I said $145 a barrel 3 months ago, and that then it would drop down throughout the fall and winter to around $120, and then next summer, it's going to go to $200+ a barrel. Now, that prediction is on record right there. That's what they're going to do. And we predicted everything else because we know their formula. We know how they operate. We know what they do. So we will go over that a little bit here in the next few minutes. But let's just finish up with that now. You see, they apply the pressure. They bring you to a new high. Then they lower a little bit to create the perception of, man, gas is only $3.90 a gallon now. It was $4.25 on average, and it was $5 in L.A., but now it's only $4.35. Ooh, man, $4.25, the great days of $4.25 in L.A., or in some areas, you know, some mountainous areas of the country. It was $5.50, $5.60 a gallon. Man, it's only $4.90 now. Boy. $4.90, man, the days of cheap gas are back. Basic Pavlovian psychology, and then you take the heat off Congress, and then they take you another 100 miles, you push them back another 50 and think you've had a victory. See, they take 5 steps, you push them back 2 steps, then they take 10 steps, you push them back 4 steps, then they take 20 steps, and you push them back 8 steps, then they take 100 steps, and you push them back 40 steps, then they take 200 steps, and you push them back 90 steps. You see, when they say compromise, it means you always give up real estate. You always give up liberties and freedoms. They always gain on raping you. The statistics always get worse on the family and savings and literacy and property ownership. The elite gets more and more powerful. We get more and more dumbed down as they put more chemicals in the vaccines and the food and the water. And of course, their excuses are, well, we don't want everybody to fight. It's kind of an in-your-face deal. When you see the movie Serenity, where the global, international, galactic government is putting into the atmosphere a Prozac-type compound to make everybody not fight, but instead it kills 95% of the population. The other 5% turn into psychopathic killers. And then it cuts to the, you know, the scientists that did it going, we didn't want anyone to fight. We wanted it all friendly. We wanted it all... Oh, nice. Well, that's kind of the surface level for the thousands of technicians at the higher levels that know sodium fluoride attacks the brain and is very toxic. It's, well, it is so they don't fight, so we end war. Humans are naturally warlike, and we need to engineer society to be peaceful. But higher above that, it's no, we're cold-bloodedly dumbing everybody down so they're more easily managed, so we can set up a global extermination grid to carry out eugenics. And then see, all other political issues fall by the wayside when you find out, and it's in government documents, and we've covered it, made films about it, that they are putting sodium fluoride in your water in over 70% of the U.S., over 60% of England, only about 40% of Europe has it in the water supplies to dumb you down. There's a reason, folks, that doesn't matter if you jog 5 miles a day and try to eat healthy. If you're drinking sodium fluoride, you got memory loss. You got bad skin, and it is attacking all your glands, your bones, everything else, and it's just a scientific absolute fact. But because you are on the toxic sedative, you just can't get yourself moving to even properly filter that out. All right, I'm already digressing. I got a bunch of news here. Ron Paul is scheduled to be coming up later in the show. Willie Nelson announces 9/11 anti-war event on the Alex Jones Show. Big developments on that front. I'll tell you in about 10 minutes. Willie Nelson announced a 9/11 anti-war event, so we'll give you the facts on that. the new developments. I talked to him this morning and Governor Ventura. U.S. government, we know parenting better than you. Proposal will give Washington unprecedented control over kids. Everyone will get CPS visits. I told you, this is the new system. Oh, heaven help us. You think government's bad now? They're just lining up. That was all just a prelude. A dress rehearsal. Democrats admit that they don't want you to have lower gas prices. They say it's social engineering to teach you to live with less. So they're being honest about their criminality. Feds are stockpiling food supplies. I've got a story on that. A bank gave counterfeit bills to people. They're making a big deal out of this in a Florida news station. It's all counterfeit. It's all Federal Reserve. 43 busted illegal aliens, an immigration raid in Hawaii. World Health Organization returns to Iraq among improved security. That means they can start the vaccination and fluoridation there. The Iraqis won't be resisting anymore once they drink their fluoride. I told you this was coming. They're going to make you show ID everywhere to buy gas. Doesn't matter if you have a debit card. Doesn't matter if you have to be registered to be able to buy gas. And that will be every other product. So it starts with cold medicine, and then everything else, and then paint and anything, quote, drug. And now everybody, this is the new, getting you ready for the new national ID card. I remember 10 years ago reading a big corporate consortium white papers, think tank papers, about how they would convince you for the cashless society, how they would phase it in. See, once you've been trained when you're 60 years old to show ID for cigars, it's about training mindlessness into shopkeepers, it's about engineering mindlessness into the TSA, the police. Just, they don't have any discretion. They don't have any thought. They just follow mindless regulations. And look, we card 75-year-old. I mean, I've seen people on walkers being carded buying pipe tobacco. Okay? Over and over again. And I say to the shopkeeper, why are you doing that? They go, look, you see those cameras? I have to. And they swipe their card and it goes into a state police / international database. Well, it's going to be for buying gas, buying food. It's happening now. And this is out of mainstream news. This is out of ABC News. ABC News National. Okay? We'll play that clip later. Speaking of the Willie Nelson situation, I am trying to finish a film right now, Fabled Enemies with Jason Mermis. I am trying to go to the DNC in Denver. I have, 14 employees total. And I'm trying to move right now. I'm trying to move in the next few weeks. I'm not whining. I just want people to know what I'm facing here. And now dropped in my lap, I will tell you after the break where it looks like this is going with the Truth Fest. Big developments there. But I don't know. I just think this song happens to say it all. This song happens to break down exactly what my life is like every single day. And I just want everybody to share in the idea of all of you dedicating yourselves this much to the fight. Doesn't mean you'll be fighting the New World Order at the level I am, but together we fight at a level far above what I'm able to do. Everything I'm able to do is because of you and the support and the past support you have given us as we exponentially grow and lead into what is no doubt the danger zone. So I salute all of you that have the courage to fight the New World Order at point blank range. And this song is for you. They can't be done.
diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. He's bound it down, load it up and truck it. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound up. Watch on bandit run.
We are going to skip this break. This is a network break. We are skipping it. Congressman Paul's man, Jesse Benton, just called us. The congressman needs to come on early because of scheduling conflicts. We're calling the congressman right now instead of the bottom of the hour. I'll give you the Willie Nelson / Jesse Ventura news after the congressman leaves us for this 20-minute interview. Have we gotten the congressman yet? They're still juggling things. Well, with all of his itinerary and what he's doing on the floor and the airplane emergency yesterday or 2 days ago. I am really surprised he can even join us today. So we're going ahead and skipping this break right now. We can give you every minute with Congressman Ron Paul that we can. We will take a station break at the bottom of the hour for news for everybody out there on the AM and FM dial. Again, the websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, as well as PrisonPlanet.tv. And don't forget, my new film, Truth Rising, has been out for just a few weeks. It has already had a big effect out on the web. A lot of you have gotten your DVDs and are making copies of them. It's all about the 9/11 Truth Movement, all of the persecution that we go through, all the things that are happening as we try to just ask politicians serious questions. It's about the first responders and the deadly dust. And it's also the evidence of inside job on 9/11. Very, very important film, Truth Rising, ladies and gentlemen, available on DVD at Infowars.com. Everybody needs this in their collection, but more importantly, everyone needs to get this out to everybody. It is of the utmost importance that we personalize and humanize and show the social evidence of just how big this movement to expose false flag, government-sponsored terrorism is. And that's why Truth Rising is so vitally important. Again, available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. I intend to ask Ron Paul, the congressman, doctor, presidential candidate, about his speech last week. In fact, I need to pull that up so I have the text of it. It was an Infowars.net story where he talked about something big happening, something big coming up, and something that we needed to all be focused on and be aware of. Here I am on Infowars.net trying to find it, and I have found it in the exclusive news section on the right-hand side. Ron Paul, some big events are about to occur. That's why this interview coming up is so important. Ron Paul, some big events are about to occur. Congressman warns of chaos about to be unleashed on economic and political system by globalist intervention and world empire. We're glad he made it through that depressurization to continue to fight against this. Texas Congressman Ron Paul has warned that the House that he is convinced the time is now upon us that some big events are about to occur that will cause liberty to go into, quote, deep hibernation, Paul told the House. These fast-approaching events will not go unnoticed. They will affect us all. They will not be limited to just some area of the country. The world economy and political system will share in the chaos about to be unleashed. There are reasons to believe this coming crisis is different and bigger than the world has ever experienced. Instead of using globalism in a positive fashion, it has been used to globalize all of the mistakes of the politicians, bureaucrats, and central bankers. Yeah, it's nice to call it mistakes. Paul continued, in one of Paul's most memorable speeches to date, the congressman spoke of rampant authoritarianism having replaced the principles of liberty that the United States was founded upon, and warned that current empire building, financed through inflation and debt, signals a more frightening period in history. Our arrogance and aggressiveness have been used to promote a world empire backed by the most powerful army of history. This type of globalist intervention creates problems for all citizens of the world and fails to contribute to the well-being of the world's populations. Just think of our own personal liberties have been trashed here at home in the last decade, Paul urged fellow representatives. Paul outlined the history of the current economic crisis and alluded to key events such as the inception of the Federal Reserve System, the creation of the Bretton Woods monetary system, and the creation of the dollar bubble. The bubble is different and bigger for another reason, Paul agreed and argued. The central banks of the world secretly collude to certainly plan the world economy. I'm convinced that agreements among central banks to monopolize U.S. debt these past 15 years have existed. Well, we've gotten IMF World Bank documents that say that. Although secretly and out of the reach of any oversight of anyone, especially the U.S. Congress, that doesn't care or just flat doesn't understand. You know, they don't read most of the bills. I had the chairman of the Texas Education Committee, the Texas legislature, come up being a steakhouse last week in front of Aaron Dykes and another person that was with us and just say, yeah, they keep sneaking and slipping things in. Talking about the red light bill for Texas. They just slipped it into a transportation bill the day of the vote, and it was made law. Yesterday, the congressman also confronted Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke over what he described as a 35-plus year dollar bubble, telling him, you are probably the biggest taxpayer in the country, the biggest taxer in the country, citing the inflationary fiat money system as the most unfair and regressive form of taxation there is. A stunning, and it goes on. Again, we got a call from Benton right before the last break that we skipped, saying Ron Paul wants to come on right now. Gave us a number, but then that number wasn't good. We're scrambling about. What's my ETA, John? You can come on air and tell us.
All right. I was just told that he's not going to be able to make it now. They were just called into something. So 1 p.m. Between 1 and 2, he's going to be able to come on.
And you're on air right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I want to make sure. People hear me talking to someone that isn't there. He is there usually. It's just that you can't hear him.
So that basically they called in to say, hey, quick, we can come on right now, do 20 minutes. So I called that number, and then the lady informed me he just got, you know, pulled away, so he's going to have to come on between 1 and 2. So he's just going to randomly call in some point today, but he will be coming on today.
You know, I've got my guest list here today. Ron Paul, Jim Mars, Bob Chapman, Paul Craig Roberts. What I'll do is I'll just let those two be on air together, I guess. Hey, it's all transparent here. We even on the internet now put out our behind the scenes live stream to everybody. If you're listening on the InfoWars stream, we skip a lot of breaks there. And so you can hear all the battle planning here on air. It's funny. My detractors are so deceptive. They take me talking to John or sometimes board op. I have two. Really call them engineers. They do it all. Well, one of them is a full-blown engineer here in the office in Austin. And I'll be talking to them on air, but you can't hear them talking to me because it's on a back line. And then the people go and edit it like I'm talking to imaginary people and saying, do you hear me? Do you hear me? And you'd think that's obvious and only an idiot would not see through that. You have to remember the general public, some of them don't know where electricity comes from or what it is, how many continents there are, who the vice president is, the three branches of government. You would think that the fella on Jay Leno with jaywalking, that he's out there looking for particularly dumb people. He's not. There are large segments of the population that don't understand. And I'm just making a mention every few days about this so people are aware of it. Because there's not just some overt ridiculous disinfo about me. There's also a lot of people now editing things to make me sound totally crazy or to make it sound like I'm racist or to make it sound like I've said things I haven't said. And a lot of them aren't government operatives or disinfo people. It's just mass mental illness and people out on YouTube and Live Leak and Google Video doing this, but I don't want to get off into a rampage about myself. I don't particularly care about myself being attacked. It's just that, you know, they go on the Wikipedia page, the people that control my page that are high-level Wikipedia editors, and say I've been killed or I'm on cocaine, which I've never taken and don't like. That's not true. One time at a party in high school, I did take it and thought I was going to have a heart attack. I never liked hard drugs. But the point is, just and they won't let us edit that or change that. And they won't let, there's a bunch of disinfo on there right now. They won't let people change it. So just be aware, there's a lot of bull about me out there on the internet. And it's meant because I'm effective, and they want to basically kill the messenger politically, which isn't working. I'll tell you about all the big developments with Willie Nelson, Governor Ventura, and the concert.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Ron Paul's office told us something came up emergency on the Hill. He will be on sometime in the 1 o'clock hour. He is so incredibly busy. Came very close to dying two nights ago. They had to emergency land the aircraft with six other congressmen on board from Texas. Depressurization would have killed Payne Stewart. So Ron Paul scheduled, also Jim Marsh, huge breaking news about the fascist Nazi connections. This is a multi-headed Hydra. We go into all the heads of the Hydra. This is a historical fact. You can't get around it. Those of you that just want to obsess on Israel all day, or obsess on the Vatican all day, or obsess on this or that all day, we cover it all. But we also get into the fact that the Nazis did try to overthrow this country, and the Bushes were their henchmen. That is an absolute admitted fact. We're going to cover it with Jim Mars. We're going to look at that head of the Hydra today. And then Bob Chapman is on in the 1 o'clock hour when Paul's coming on. So we'll have Chapman with us, and I'm sure Chapman will be happy to ride along shotgun whenever Paul comes in for 20 minutes. And then Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And we're told Paul may even shift to that hour. But he's never bailed on me when this happens, when he's on the campaign trail or in session. But we were already setting this up last week, and now the airplane disaster, diverted disaster with seven congressmen on board, as the Emperor tries to blow up the Jedi Council, he will be on with us sometime today, I would venture to say. I mean, they say they're coming on. He's running around battling on the Hill and then trying to come back in to talk to us on air. Okay. Here is the big update on Willie Nelson. I think first we should play this from yesterday with the hour-long exclusive interview with Willie Nelson on impeachment, trying to stop an attack on Iran and 9/11 truth. Here is the caller bringing up what I wouldn't bring up to Willie. And I've kind of analyzed why I wouldn't do this, even though 9/11 Truth was asking me to, because I know Willie and got his number, and he's a fan of the show. He's a fan of freedom. It's because subconsciously I self-analyzed last night and this morning. I can't stand the anxiety and the butterflies of organizing this. But now that I'm committed, I'm trying to make sure it happens and get her done with the infiltrators and problems and all the things that could be involved with this. But after we play 2 minutes of this clip, I will come back and tell you where things stand right now. Here it is.
You've done a lot of great concerts in your time as far as like Live Aid to support the farmers. I was thinking that would be great to do something like a 9/11 Truth concert. Donate the money to the families that lost their loved ones, and the firefighters that were out there, and also to support Dennis Kucinich. What he's doing, and it would be great to do that, and we get a lot of publicity. I was wondering.
Oh, I would agree. I would agree to both of those things in a minute.
Okay, Willie.
Those are wonderful. It's a wonderful plan.
Willie, I'm totally freaking out right now. You know, you gave me your cell phone number and other contacts, and I haven't called you in 5 months because you're one of the few people I'm actually starstruck by, and I was kind of nervous stumbling around calling you this morning to come on the show. I have been dreaming of inviting you to New York this year for the anniversary. Getting some hall, just having you speak or, play your acoustic guitar. And we know the first responders, the heads of the victims' family groups, or to even have a benefit here in Austin for the firefighters and police. But I know you're so busy and you've already done so much for 9/11 Truth. But since the caller brings it up, maybe I should talk to you off air later today about doing something like that. Because I think we're talking about solutions. Or a free concert somewhere as a media event to say a no attack on Iran, yes to impeachment deal. That might be good. It'd probably be like Woodstock, Willie.
Oh, I think you're right, and I think people want to find a way to speak out and let their voices be heard, and that's what you and I need to do, is to give them a way to do that. We'll find a hall or a field or something somewhere, and we'll go over there, and we'll give people a chance to stand up and talk about what they believe in.
Well, I just want to thank Scott calling from Arizona, who I don't know from Adam, because I can't ever ask for things from the celebrities I know, just because I don't want to feel like I'm bugging them. But Willie gives so much. This is just incredible. For all the stations.
Well, thank you. And I want to say to Scott, before you take off to the mountains up there, hang around a little while and watch all this stuff come down. And, if something happens really bad, I'll go to the mountains with you. But in the meantime, let's stay here and fight those guys.
All right, we're going to skip this break, too. Here we go. Behind the scenes. Unbelievable. Okay, so I am just energized all day yesterday. Couldn't go to bed until 1 o'clock in the morning. Also had a San Diego radio interview that I did. And so I get up this morning, and it was time to call Willie, and I call him, and he goes, listen, I just played a concert last night. I'm just now waking up, but I probably do want to do some type of concert. We just have to figure out where we want to have it and what we want to do. And I need you to send me an email with your ideas and what you want to do. And I said, okay, well, let me just ask you now. Do you think you want to make it more anti-war or more 9/11 truth? And I said, do you want other people there? Do you want Jesse Ventura there? Do you want Woody Harrelson there? Do you want maybe to get Charlie Sheen there? And he's like, sure, all of them. And I said, well, just so I know, and I formulate a plan, do you want it to be in New York or Austin? What's your gut tell you? And he said, probably Austin, because it would probably be bigger. And he then went on to say that basically 9/11 did happen 7 years ago, and that he wants it to be about 9/11, but mainly about not attacking Iran, impeachment, bringing these people to justice, because that has the widest appeal. And then also talking about the first responders and what's happened to them. And so it looks like, but I don't want to jinx it, that it's probably going to happen. We just have to formulate it and try to get a venue big enough to do this. The reason Austin is prime also is because it's easier to get a big venue here. And Willie is just an icon worldwide, but he's the icon here in Texas, especially in Central Texas. And so we've got to formulate something in the next week. He's on tour, very busy. He's on tour like 6 days a week, some days 7 days a week, all over the country. He's got Farm Aid coming up in late September. It looks like if we do it, which it's probably going to happen, folks. I mean, he's like 99%. He's like, well, let's do something. Let's figure it out. Let's do it. But I don't want to say it's a done deal. I don't count my chickens till they're hatched. I don't, count the big fish till it's in the boat, ladies and gentlemen, and we're headed back to dock. So this is very, very exciting. And I just appreciate Willie's courage. So then I go, it's like 10:22. And it's less than 40 minutes before I'm on air. I got to drive 20 minutes to get to work. I've been getting ready all morning. I get ready at home, my home office. I got to get to the office. I go, I'm going to call Governor Ventura right now. So I pick up the phone. I call Governor Ventura at home. He answers. He's like, hey, Alex, I just got an advanced copy of the new Pearl Harbor Revisited. It's an incredible book, the best David Ray Griffin book I've read, and they want me to write a forward. What do you think of this forward idea? And reads it to me, and he's being so nice and talking about my films, other films. And I'm like, well, hey, I know you've been down here with Willie before, with Kinky Friedman. I know that you tried to help him with governorship. Would you like to come down and speak at an anti-war / 9/11 truth event? Willie's pretty much on board to do it. We just got to organize it. And he said, absolutely, I want to come. I just went and saw Willie last week in Hinckley, Minnesota. I was in the 10th row. Tell him I said hi. Yeah, as long as I can go out and play golf on Willie's golf course, I'm there. So I call Willie back real fast, and now it's like 35 after. I barely got time to get into the office. And Willie's more awake now, going, yeah. And I'm like, well, what about Ventura? He's on board. Well, great. Let's work it out. Let's get this guy and that guy. Man, but now I got to do all the work to make sure it happens, or that I don't approach things too directly. Or I just told Willie, you're in the driver's seat, but at the same time, then he's got to organize it. I don't know. It's just amazing. Here's another issue. I guarantee you, folks, for an anti-war / 9/11 thing, I bet we can get 50,000 people. I mean, hell, Willie has events around Austin all the time, but 20, 30,000. I don't know. And then, of course, Willie, no doubt, will probably have people around him telling him not to do it, but Willie always does what he wants to do, so that'll probably actually be reverse psychology and make sure it happens. I just, sometimes they say it's better to have loved and lost and never have loved at all, but to love an event like this and an idea like this. We talked about some other stuff. I'm not going to get into it. Some exciting stuff. But to now be worried about it, now to be constantly have even more energy and be more electrified, it's torture. It's a good kind of torture, but it's like being in love when you're 14 and got your first really serious girlfriend or something, and you're just thinking about her all the time and you're worrying about her all the time. You know, when you get to be an old guy like me, you know, you love your wife, but and there's deep fires burning for her, but at the same time, there's not that giddy excitement. And that's the only other feeling I can explain this as. I don't like it. Ah! Because I always have that dark burning passion to fight the New World Order. And it's dark, but dark in a good way. You know, it's a brooding, angry, serious, warlike thing. But then to have just this passionate deal and this creativity. It's almost like when I'm standing before a canvas that I prepared a week before. I'm an oil painter. And I'm standing before the canvas, never have time to do it anymore. And it's that same nervousness about what am I going to paint? An impressionistic, a representational, is it going to be something that again, I'm having that feeling right now. It's just those tidal, tectonic, Titan-like energies that we all have, seething, exploding creativity, and I have this new thing before me. I mean, how big an event do I get? How do I get a venue? Do I have Willie do it? Because he's got, obviously, more carte blanche. Who do I try to get there? What bands do I invite? And then there's that lingering sort of Damocles. What if Willie just decides, well, I just don't think it's the right time to do it. But he said he's pretty much going to do it. We're still in talks. It's torture. It's a good torture. But it's a torture. Nevertheless, let me tell you what's going to feel good. If we have this event and it goes off without a hitch and it's successful and we get it on C-SPAN and on national TV and it has a big effect, another breakthrough moment, and we get a support for first responders. We've already donated so much to them with these events. It's just destiny. It's magic. It's history. And then I can't believe that I just call up Governor Ventura and call up Willie Nelson, and then I can call up former German defense ministers and Italian. Well, I'm not going to get into that. The point is, I can't believe my life. And then I can't believe the responsibility. It's just mind-blowing. I'm Alex Jones, and I've got to carry the ball, and I've got to do all this work because I do it for love of decency and honor and the beauty of it. It's not ego, folks. I can't explain it. It's a force much stronger. Let's go ahead and play this clip of Jesse Ventura on Fox News, and we'll go to break and come back, and I'll get into other news. Please stay with us.
Governor Jesse Ventura, author of this book that was just out in April, the call, and it's a New York Times bestseller, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. Governor Ventura, welcome back to Fox and Friends. Why didn't you pass a ordinance like this that would have had everyone measuring people's underwear?
Because that's the private sector, and I don't really believe it's government's place to be in nonsense like that.
And that's what most of our emails reflect. Governor, welcome back. I know you decided not to run for the U.S. Senate seat. What was the ultimate reason why you said, I'm not going to run against Norm Komenoff or Al Franken?
Well, the ultimate reason was the change of lifestyle for me. You know, it's a very difficult job. You put back in the limelight, you become scheduled again. I would have to move to Washington. That would split up my wife and I a great deal. And at this point in my life, I just turned 57 years old. It's a six-year term. Six-year commitment is a long time to make, and I just felt it wasn't right for me, and it wasn't destiny for me to do it.
So, Jesse, or Governor Ventura, I learned my lesson, Governor Ventura, let me ask you, when you see Barack Obama over in Afghanistan and Iraq, what are you looking for as a voter to find out whether this guy can be the commander-in-chief?
Well, first of all, I'm not voting for Barack Obama, and I'm not voting for John McCain. Many independents like me are left out of the system, the two-party dictatorship, as I like to call it. And so I won't be voting for either of them. But I think he's doing what is required of him. He obviously is a positive thinker and feels he's going to be the next president of the United States, which he well could be. And it's important for him to go over there and get educated, see what's happening on the ground so that he can make important decisions like I hope he does and withdraw and pull us out of Iraq.
What about Afghanistan?
Afghanistan is starting to flare up again, and that's only happening because we never finished the job, did we?
And would you, as a special forces guy, like the opportunity to go into Pakistan and find bin Laden?
I doubt if bin Laden's even alive today. I think he's just propped up as being that enemy that we all have to have out there. I'm not sure if he's even alive or not. They had their chance to get him, and they let him slip through. And let's remember, he used to work for the CIA years ago. Who says he still doesn't?
And they said he never worked for the CIA, but they were working with the Mujahideen, which he was a part of, but no one ever remembers seeing him. But I want to talk to you about what's in your book, and that is
He's a pretty hard guy to miss, isn't he? 6.5 feet tall.
Well, evidently he's hard enough to miss. We haven't got him yet, and it's maddening. But all about the money
we
in politics, Jesse. Yes, we do. We do want him. We just got to go get him. We're going to be back with Governor Ventura, who doesn't agree with anything I say, but it makes it fun. Back in a moment.
Did he cut his hair?
I think so. If you just missed it, if you just missed the first half of our interview with Jesse Ventura, we found out he's not going to vote for John McCain. He's not going to vote for Barack Obama. He's against the two-party system, and he's not running for the U.S. Senate. He also says we do not want Osama bin Laden. What do you mean, Governor Ventura, who is also a special forces guy?
Well, we had a chance to get him in Tora Bora, and we left him an out, which he escaped through. And remember, we need a boogeyman out there. We have to have some boogeyman out there that we have to hate and an enemy, and if bin Laden's dead or gone or we get him, that boogeyman doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Governor, you won.
I find it very hard to believe with our technology, the greatest fighting force in the world, that if we truly wanted bin Laden, we would have gotten him.
What about this guy Rudolph that hid in the woods right in our country, the Olympic Park bomber? We couldn't find him.
Well, you know, they didn't use the U.S. military to find him, did they?
Well, I'll tell you what, especially you'd be sort of somebody, if you were 25 years old, they'd be saying, Jesse, we need you over in the mountains of Afghanistan or Pakistan to go find him. You know how tough it is, right?
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Listen up, New World Order. Listen up good. Total commitment in defense of the Republic and the innocents.
We're the renegades in this atomic age.
And we're the renegades.
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 Renegades in this atomic age.
Renegades.
This atomic age of renegades.
Since a prehistoric.
Since the prehistoric ages and the days of ancient Greece. Walked down through the Middle Ages. Better us kept going through changes. And then the Renaissance came.
We're the
renegades of funk. We're the renegades of funk. We're the renegades.
be poisoned and nerve gassed and radiated by the New World Order. We're not going to eat your GMO foods. We're not going to volunteer for your wars. And you're not going to get our guns. And you're not going to get our property or our children.
Ain't no stopping, popping and shocking and rocking and putting aside that hip.
You are in the front line. You have founded the vortex in the InfoWar. Unleashing the dynamic human spirit that will never submit to tyranny. The light of the creator of the universe energizes us. And we are lining up against the forces of death. We're the renegades of funk. Yeah! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you joined us for this worldwide transmission against tyranny. I don't care if you're 80 years old. I don't care if you're black, white, Mexican, Chinese, German. It's time to realize we're all under attack from the New World Order. It's time to pull back the veils of these lesser men that have colluded viciously to hold back humanity from our mission to populate the stars. Time for you to release the Minuteman, the liberty lover inside of you, as we stand up peaceably in the info war and take back the minds of men and women everywhere as we unlock their minds to the lies and give them the truth, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we are doing here on this radio show that integrates into the videos, the information, the news articles, everything that is InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.net and TruthNews.us and JonesReport.com. I salute the GCN Radio Network. I salute everybody that makes this show possible. John Harmon, Trey Kincaid, my engineers, the affiliates, the listeners, God, everybody. Together, we are brothers and sisters in eternity, doing the right thing and setting ourselves up against the engine, the machinery of tyranny and dehumanization. We are unstoppable.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two of Global Transmission Against Dehumanization. I am Alex Jones, locked and loaded in the info war. Yes, we are often imitated and many times successfully duplicated. And that's what we're here to do, is to spread rebellion against tyranny and obedience to our Creator, who only wants us to be happy and be creative and be creators in His image. It is the church of life, the church of decency and beauty and honor and truth and will and companionship and honor and duty and commitment. And I love every single one of you out there who loves liberty. Every single one of you, even the deceived ones out there who believe you're fighting for liberty, who've been deceived, you're going to wake up and you're going to truly let your good intentions go in a direction that helps your fellow man. The lies are being torn aside. The enemy is moving in with a high-tech control grid because they realize the population of the planet is waking up to their tyranny, and it is a desperate attempt to put us back into line, and it was destined from the foundations of creation to fail. Regardless of what happens, we do the right thing. We put ourselves in the way of the fist. We stand up with courage, and God will do the rest. The enemy believes in God, and they hate God. The enemy tries to teach the mass not to be spiritual so that they will be blinded and think that only materialism is the answer. And so they will never fully develop into the creatures they were meant to be. That's why the enemy puts out their fake organized religion and all its brands. That's why they continually, perpetually push things that are meant to turn the population off going to turn them inward into their television sets, into their diversions and distractions that will not fulfill you, will never fulfill you. Fighting evil is the only thing that truly fulfills. The struggle against tyranny, the struggle against dehumanization, the struggle for truth. One of the only pains I have is that so many people who wake up to the New World Order then fall into subcategories and infight with each other and are stunted by false teachers and false prophets and leaders that lead them into infighting and disinformation. And I'm so sad. I don't even hate those people. I feel sorry for them and wish that I could have communal brotherhood with them. Wish that I could have powwows with them. Wish that I could lift them up and they me up, all of us together. And it's not too late for some of you out there that have turned to darkness. It's not too late for you to turn loose of your hate, even for the New World Order, something I've had to learn how to do, and to fight the New World Order and fight the globalists for your love of your fellow man and woman, not for the love of subconsciously playing the game of wannabe aristocrat. Frank Herbert said that many people that actually fight tyranny only wish to be the tyranny themselves. They have a subconscious dominance, a propulsion system that leads them against the establishment because they only want power. Machiavelli said it as well. They only seek to fight the establishment because they want power themselves. And that will lead you into ruination. You need to fight evil because you love goodness. Jim Mars is only about 3 minutes away. We're going to go to break and go to him. I am so filled right now with a spirit of liberty and love and honor and strength that it shakes me. It's overflowing. It's so deep and intense. It's transcends anything I felt in decades past. It only intensifies by the day my understanding, the depth and breadth of the world I'm able to see. And I know many of you see even clearer and deeper than I. It is our mission, our destiny to unlock minds. Our destiny to enlighten and uplift. Our destiny to stand against evil. It is the greatest honor, the greatest calling. It is the only human calling.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Gentlemen, it's one of the hottest books he has ever written. It's put out by a major publisher. It deals with something that I cover in my film, Martial Law, 9-1-1 Rise of the Police State. That's really three films. It's 3 hours long. It gets into the police state in 2004 at the RNC, the sound cannons, the blimps, the police, the FEMA camp they put people in. Second part gets into 9/11, and the third part, the Nazi occult roots. And his new book is The Rise of the Fourth Reich, Jim Mars. And he's taken it even further than the research we got at the National Archives, Library of Congress. He's been researching this for years. He had to keep it under wraps. It was under embargo until the book came out. It is now out. By the way, we have it available in stock at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. You can also write to us. You can also go to Jim Mars' website and get it, and it's in bookstores all over the place. It is bombshell, to say the least. He joins us the next 50 minutes. Jim Mars, it is a real pleasure to have you on with us.
Hey, Alex, it's always good to be with you.
So much is going on. So much is happening. Let's just start at the beginning and give people as much info and some of the exclusive scoops you got for this book, and then people need to get it and show it to everyone they know. Break down the entire, there's a lot of elements to this New World Order, but a central one going running throughout the core of it, it didn't start with Hitler, is this death cult aspect, Order of the Death's Head. And you have written the new definitive work on this with a lot of new original research, Jim. Amazing new book. Tell people about The Rise of the Fourth Reich.
Okay. Well, I think it's kind of summed up here on page 323. where I write that while it's true that the families that originated the wealthy elite in America, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, the Harrimans, the Bushes, have in recent years lost some of their previous influence, their giant global enterprises today remain as powerful as ever, maintaining all the functions for which they were first organized. This mechanism today has been brought under the control of fascist globalists who created both communism and then national socialism, and they've done this in America by using the wealth brought from Europe through the Nazi rat lines. In other words, the same people and the same corporations, the same companies, the same families, the same Wall Street financiers who bankrolled and supported communism in Russia so that they could play that off against the capitalistic West, communism threatened to get out of hand. It threatened to go worldwide, and they didn't want that because they want the turmoil and the wars and the conflict that can be created between nations so they can pit one nation against another for maximum control and profit. So they created national socialism in pre-war Germany. And national socialism, you have to understand, the acronym of which is Nazi. They took the N-A from national and the Z-I from socialistic in the German, and that's where the word Nazi comes from. They are national socialist, and what we have in America today is national socialism. Of course, they don't call it that today. Today, they call it neoconservatism. But what they've done is the same thing they did in pre-war Germany. They have appealed to the conservative, the true conservative elements of the population, and used that to ride into power and to push forward their national socialist programs. It's like George W. Bush proclaimed himself a compassionate conservative, a neoconservative, and yet when he gets in office, he has accumulated more power to the presidency, more power to the central government. He has led us into unprovoked foreign wars. He has wrecked the economy, and he has propagated more socialistic programs probably than any other president.
The federal government
has to ask yourself what's going on.
The federal government has tripled in size. He's also effectively demonized, probably for decades, true conservatism, and now they give us the false solution, the left, which will only bring us deeper under the same control. And then we see the Straussian School of Economics up in Chicago, where the neocons come from, where they openly write and say, despite the fact a lot of them are Zionist, that they are using Nazi governing principles, from the black uniforms to the term Reich or land security to fascist symbols, the Nazi fasci, the hatchets on top, the bundle of sticks in the Senate, passing the Nazi gun control bills in the 68 Gun Control Act. They are using this model.
Absolutely. And let's listen to the words of the Nazi Luftwaffe commander Hermann Göring. He said this during the Nuremberg war crime trials. He said, "Why, of course the people don't want war. That's understood. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy. And it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. This is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger." Doesn't that sound familiar?
And that's what Carol Quigley said. He said, we control fascists, we control communists. The global banking establishment wants a system for the administrative convenience of the international banking elite, as Rockefeller has echoed, and that they work with anything that centralizes, and then they give the public false choices of centralized communism or centralized fascism, which are really the same thing, dressed up different.
Exactly. In fact, national socialism, by its very definition, is socialism, just as communism was an extreme form of socialism. They want socialism because any social program, no matter how good it may be, such as Social Security or No Child Left Behind, no matter whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, requires central administration. And they believe that they have the wealth and the power to control the central administration and thus control our lives, control the world. It's the age-old dream of greedy, ambitious people.
I have ABC News today saying all Americans with children will get CPS visits. You will get them to make sure you are a, quote, good parent. I have another report here, also out of ABC, where they are saying that when you get, pay for gas, you will have to show your ID and driver's license and be registered to buy gas. Everything is about being tracked and controlled. We are going in to an electronic straitjacket, and notice the Democrats, Conyers is trying to block a true hearing on impeachment now Friday. That's just out today. Big articles up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You see, the Democrats intend to use all this power George Bush has amassed for them.
Exactly. And my question is, what's the problem with impeachment? They impeach Bill Clinton for having sex, for gosh sakes. Can't we impeach somebody when millions of people have died? And what's the problem? If they're innocent, I mean, impeachment is simply like a trial. So we have a trial, and they lay out all the evidence, and if the neocons can prove that they made a few mistakes, but basically they're doing everything as they should have, then what have they got to worry about?
Why would they be concerned? They are admittedly guilty on all of those 35 articles, minus the global warming one that Dennis Kucinich has brought forward. On the face, it's all felonies and lies and premeditated, and so it's open and shut, and that's why they can't allow an impeachment.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. That's what, kind of what I was getting at. If they really didn't have anything to worry about, if they were adhering to the law and to the Constitution, then they shouldn't have anything to worry about. And the fact that they're fighting tooth and toenail, even using some Democrats to try to stop any kind of impeachment hearing, shows that they're obviously guilty of sin.
Conyers and, of course, we have on top of that Pelosi, absolute monsters. Now I want to go through the book. Obviously, people need to get the book, but you've got some bombshell stuff. For people that don't know, let's give them the basic history of the fascist idea, how they tried to overthrow the U.S., Smedley Butler, the Marine Corps commander, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. The general, Brigadier General, refused to go along with that. He was about to become General Smedley Butler, the head of the Marine Corps, and wouldn't take it because they wanted him to lead a 500,000-man team. We have the McCormick-Dickstein Committee hearings on all of that. I want to walk through this, through Bush Sr.'s daddy, Senator Prescott, right through to what we face today. In fact, let's start now, Jim.
Well, let's start with Germany in early in January of 1933. It was a democratic republic. It was the Weimar Republic. Just like we had at one time, the Republic of the United States. And yet, before the end of the month, or I think it was February of 1933, their parliament building burned down, the Reichstag.
February 27th.
Yes. And quite conveniently, they caught a retarded Dutch youth who was carrying on his person a Communist Party card. Just kind of like on 9/11 when all the planes and the hijackers and all those people just burned up, but they found a paper passport that they said belonged to one of the hijackers. So they said, Hitler, who at that time was chancellor, which is somewhat like our vice president, he said, well, give me the power and I will, you know, protect you from these communist terrorists. And, of course, it later came out that basically the Nazis themselves had set the fire.
Goering.
But yes, because it could be tracked back to Goering's office. And then, but using that as a pretext, they rushed through emergency legislation, the Enabling Act, just like they rushed through the Patriot Act for us, and they began to consolidate power within the government. And before long, Hitler had combined the offices of president and vice president.
All right, Jim. Jim Mars, New York Times best-selling author. The man who brought you JFK the movie, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, when we get back. Okay, Jim Mars, new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, coming up the next segment. Ron Paul is with us for only this segment, but he'll be back with us next week. Only 5 minutes right now to cover a lot of things. Congressman, first off, tell us what happened briefly on the aircraft when it depressurized.
Well, you know, it was obviously a significant event because it's not very often that all of a sudden you see all these oxygen masks fall down in your face. But actually, the people did pretty well. They remained calm. Everybody grabbed it and started breathing, and we knew it was a real thing. At least I noticed that stewardesses and the attendees didn't get up to check on anybody. They immediately sat down and got their oxygen on, so it was very, very necessary that we get the oxygen because we were at 35,000 feet. Sometimes it was described as a nosedive, but I wouldn't have described it being that dramatic. It was obvious that we were going down quickly, and then they took about 20 minutes or so to get into New Orleans, and that was it. So it was dangerous, but it was it occurred rather quickly, and it was over, and nobody panicked.
Okay, you've got a special emergency hearing today on oil. Tell us about that.
Well, we have a special hearing today to study the relationship of the weak dollar and oil prices, and this was at my request because they're always talking about all kinds of things, you know, things like speculators and Arabs and everything in the world about the oil price, but they never talk about the fact that the dollar gets weaker and we print too many. So Barney Frank, who's chairman of the banking committee, respond to my request, and we're holding hearings, in which will start here probably within 20 minutes or so.
So you're getting ready for that.
Right.
On the Iran front, last week you told the Congress that really big things are about to happen, really serious things that are unprecedented in modern history. Can you specifically tell us what you're talking about?
Well, in a way, it's related to foreign policy, but not specifically. It wasn't like I knew in 1 week or 2 weeks something major was happening, like the bombing of Iran, although that hangs over the market. Most of the thoughts going through my mind was the relationship of foreign policy on how it's draining us and bankrupting us and the critical problems that we have in the financial sector today, and I think they continue to exist. And I dwell on the dollar because all we do up here, just like yesterday, hundreds of billions of dollars allotted to bail out the housing program that puts weight on the dollar, and the dollar is going to go down, so we can expect a lot of inflation and a very weak economy, and I think we're seeing the beginning of a major, major economic event.
They have tried to cover up the fact that control corporate press, as you know, sir, that the dollar's imploding. Now people finally seem to be waking up to that. Is that a good thing to put pressure on the central government to try to reverse policies that are killing the dollar?
Well, on the short term, there's going to be a little bit of pain with that when you reverse it. If you try to save the dollar, yeah, this is going to be painful. But ultimately, that's the only thing you should be doing, because if you don't do that, everybody's going to suffer a lot more than anybody ever dreamed of. I mean, you can keep propping up the system, trying to reinflate the bubble, and try to take care of everybody receiving welfare checks. But what happens when the money doesn't buy anything? So we lose our way. It won't solve our problems.
By major economic event, we're already seeing those daily as jobs are lost and energy goes up and all sorts of problems happen, all related to the dollar and our debt. What are you talking about? I mean, can you specifically tell us what type of major event you're talking about?
Well, I think the dollar essentially doesn't function anymore. And, you know, more runs on the bank. I mean, just yesterday with that housing bill, you know, inside that bill, they decided they're going to start fingerprinting anybody who's in the mortgage business as a supposed solution to our problem. Also, in that bill, they have a new law that says that every single credit card transaction will be reported to the IRS. They raised the national debt by $800 billion. But this whole thing about this reporting of every credit card transaction. So maybe people will quit using their credit cards and start going to cash, and this could have all kinds of ramifications. So,
have you seen the bill where they want to send CPS to all parents' homes at birth?
I did not see that bill in particular, no.
World Net Daily's got it. It seems like government, the statists, are making their move right now.
Yeah. No, they are, and they're going to always react in the wrong way. They've created the problems. Mises, the great Austrian economist, said, you know, governments act, they create... trying to solve one problem, they create two new ones, then they go and try to solve those and just pyramid the complexity of our problems.
Congressman, the rally bomb, tell us about that.
The rally bomb is occurring tomorrow. We want to really send a strong message. We've rented an auditorium up there that could hold 15,000 to 18,000, and some of my staff's optimistic to think that we can sell all the tickets in one day, a total of $17.76 per ticket. I'm always cautious about this. I don't know what's going to happen, but they want to send a loud message. So if we fill that place up.
And what website do they visit for the rally bomb?
Pardon me?
What website do they visit for the rally bomb?
It's campaignforliberty.com.
Congressman, try to check in with us next week as things unfold. I need to talk to you 30 seconds off air about another issue behind the scenes. So give me another 30 seconds before you have to go to that committee meeting. That was Congressman Ron Paul right here on GCN.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John, Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. Didn't say much, kind of quiet and shy. But if you spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
All right, I apologize to Jim Mars, Big but he was happy John. To do it for Ron Paul to pop in with that emergency
Big
report.
John.
He'll be back with us next week. Talked about some exciting things behind the scenes. I'll just leave it at that as he hurries off to the committee meeting. I'm going to keep Jim a little bit in the next hour. Then we got Bob Chapman coming on so we can finish up with getting into his new incredible book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. We had gotten up to Hitler seizing power through staged terrorism. Jim Mars, a best-selling author, please continue.
Well, what you have to understand is that Hitler wasn't able to take over Germany just by himself or by a handful of people in German industry. The banks that bankrolled them and the Dawes Plan and the Young Plan, which generally pushed the Germans into Hitler's hands, were all products of J.P. Morgan. The German corporations who were all behind Hitler were, of course, the ones you would think, IG Farben, Zeiss Icon, Bosch, Daimler-Benz, Krupp, Alliance Insurance, which, by the way, was one of the insurance companies that insured and made lots of money off the destruction of the World Trade Center. They were in collaboration and business relationships with Standard Oil of New Jersey, J.P. Morgan, Brown Brothers, Harriman, JF, IBM. IBM, for example, IBM closed their Berlin office during World War II, but they kept their Warsaw office open, and it was through the Warsaw office answering directly to their New York office, where they processed the punch cards for IBM machines that allowed the Nazis to round up dissidents and Jews and everybody else and get them on the trains to the concentration camps on time. And what people don't realize is that, yes, we defeated the Germans in World War II, but none of these people at that level, at the business level, none of them were ever charged. None of them ever saw any problem. In fact, a General Motors plant, which finally towards the end of the war, because it was cranking out war materials, finally was bombed by the U.S. Air Force. And after the war, General Motors sued the U.S. government and won reparations and was repaid for the loss of their manufacturing plant there in Germany, which had been producing war materials to kill our boys.
By the way, now, GM is still in Europe. It's called Opel.
Right. Right, and it's all there. In fact, when you look at the world situation today, we see that the Nazis are not very far behind most everything. We have a new pope who, as a youth in Poland, was a member of the Hitler Youth.
And by the way, you would think that Italy has free speech. You are arrested there if you write about that on the internet or in a newspaper. You can look that up if you talk about Ratzinger being a Hitler Youth, and now Tony Blair's become, and I'm not attacking Catholics, it's just a fact, folks.
Today you try to bring out truth, and somehow they twist it around to making it a hate crime, you know. I don't hate the Pope. I don't wish him ill. I'm simply pointing out that he was a Hitler Youth, and that's truth.
But let me expand on that. Let's stay on the Catholic Church for a moment, but I want to go back first, Jim. This is so important. The entire Nazi mechanism, as Lord Milner wrote, Royal Institute of International Affairs, as you know, they were saying in the 20s, we need some hothead to take over, fascism, tear Europe up, so they could then suck it dry. So Hitler was just like the venom a spider injects into a bug to liquefy Europe, bring down its middle class, and then exsanguinate it, suck it dry back into England and the United States through the Anglo-American establishment. You have the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. And by the way, I'm half German, folks. I'm not bashing Germans. It's the German elite. We're not bashing Germans either here. We don't want to get into Balkanization. It's just a fact that we're laying out here. So basically, Germany was used to tear up, bring down Europe, beat up communism, their other creation that had gotten a bit out of control, and to bring them back to heel, and then to suck all that wealth from looting Europe back into the handful of the Fortune 10 in England and the United States. And that is now exactly what they did. They also took all the brain trust of the Nazi technicians, engineers, scientists, and took them back, as your book covers. I just want the audience to understand that it isn't like the Nazis came over here and took over. The Nazis were the creation of the people running the United States and England, and so they basically used the Nazis as their device to implode Europe. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Alex. I'm glad you got that. A lot of people see my title, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and they read about the Nazi rat lines and how that they got over here on Vatican passports, and they have the idea that, oh, well, it's some sort of German Nazis that came over and took over the United States. No, it is the financial elite, the wealthy oligarchy that created first communism and then got fearful of communism, created National Socialism or the Nazis. You're absolutely correct. In fact, these globalists, as they call themselves, realized by late 1940 that Joseph Stalin, who had taken control over communism in Russia, was threatening to invade Europe and conquer Europe for communism. He had realized that nobody in Europe was going to voluntarily vote communism in, so he was prepared to launch a massive assault on Europe in July of 1941.
Barbarossa.
The only force that could possibly have resisted this was the German army, and yet they were so vastly outnumbered, particularly in tanks. The Russians had 22,000 tanks, and the Germans had 3,600, that the only option left was for Hitler to launch a preemptive strike in June of 1941, which he did with Operation Barbarossa. And this explains how the Germans were able to crash through the Russian lines and encircle whole armies, because the Russians were in jump-off offensive positions, not defensive positions.
They were already forward. They did blitzkrieg and did in-runs around their supply lines.
Exactly.
And that's why when they grabbed Heinrich Himmler, British intelligence, they immediately killed him, because they were in secret communication. This has now been declassified, the entire time with the British, saying, why did you double cross us? This was all a set up deal we had. That's why Hess flew in and parachuted down onto one of the castles trying. And then they grabbed him and locked him up in the tower, saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? We had a deal.
Exactly. And then when they did try to move Hess out of England to form a new British government that would overthrow Churchill and the War Party and try to bring peace between England and Germany, the plane crashed and Hess apparently was killed. So they couldn't admit to any of this. So they had a brainwashed patsy who served the rest of his life in Spandau Prison. And the reason I say a brainwashed patsy is because Alan Dulles, who had been an integral part of all of this since the time he represented Hitler and the Schroeder Bank and a backer of Hitler, sent Dr. Ewan Cameron to inspect Hess in Spandau after the war because he said he thought this was an imposter. And Hess had known scars from wounds in World War One, and he wanted Cameron to go and see if it was it. Well, and interestingly enough, the British, who were guarding Hess at the time, refused to let him inspect Hess. But the key thing there is that any competent doctor could have checked for scar tissue on Hess. Why did he send Dr. Ewan Cameron? Because Dr. Cameron was a mind control expert.
And by the way, this is even on the History Channel. In the 60s, tens of thousands of people, the MKUltra program in Canada, it's all admitted, and that's why they used German mind control scientists after that. Understand, the King of England was a Nazi. When the war started, he had to get out of Germany through Spain. They had a totally different plan. That's why suddenly the German princeling, now the head of the House of Orange, married to Queen Beatrix, founder of the Bilderberg group, and also a Vatican agent, he had to then escape out of the country. And, of course, you can tell people about who that is.
Well, that's, of course, that's, Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands. And interestingly enough, what you'll read in my new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, is that the very night that the British royal family member and officer who was going to fly with Hess for the peace treaty and was killed in the plane, subsequent plane crash, he had dinner with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, which I don't know if that proves that there was some connection between Bernhard and the crash, but it certainly shows that the level at which this this global politicking was taking place.
Yeah, so and everything you're hearing is admitted historical fact. Understand,
this is all documented fact.
This is not debatable. That's why Hitler at Dunkirk let the British evacuate and only put on a small show with Goering and some aircraft bombing with Stukas.
The game plan was for Britain to ally with Germany and to stop communism. But once Hitler had stopped the communists in the summer of 1941...
He was triple-crossed.
He was triple-crossed, and they turned on him because they did not want a global national socialist system either. They wanted a balkanized system of socialist nations that they could play off against each other.
And that is the great game, the great game of the invisible British Imperium.
Exactly. It's all mega politics, and then they decided that because of the wealth and because of the vast amount of resources in the United States, they would simply move operations to the United States. So they came over here, they began to buy up corporations. The bigger the corporations got, the more they bought up. They
and then suddenly, by 1947... our military gets death's heads put on their tanks and uniforms. Everything starts shifting. They bring the symbol of fasci into the Senate. It all converts.
That's right. And today we see our troops are wearing the Nazi coal scuttle helmets, which they've dubbed the Fritz. We see Imperial Eagles all over on our postage stamps and in our advertisements and in symbols of the government.
An eagle drawn by Hitler. He drew the eagle. He drew the first Volkswagen, the people's car. He drew the Olympic rings. It is all the mind of Adolf Hitler. And then let's expand on that. Because if you compartmentalize it down to just the Vatican, or you compartmentalize it just down to the British Imperium, you compartmentalize it, and then they win again. We have the Zionists funding and helping Hitler and demanding ransoms from Jews to leave. Having Jews in New York lobby to not let, this is all mainline history, big Jewish scholars written about it, not to leave Germany, only to go to Palestine in the buildup there with the British then and the Rothschilds. And so then when you look at this, it is a master plan with interbred Nazis, British, and Zionists together, and they're all occultists at the top. And then meanwhile, most of our movement fights about whether it's Protestants, Jews, Catholics, any of this, when all the people themselves are good. It's evil at the top of every major mechanism.
That's essentially correct. And if you don't go along, well, then they buy you out, and if that doesn't work, then they come and intimidate you out, and if that doesn't work, then they just kill you. It's Nazi methodology, and we see the same thing going on in this country, because the thing that January of 1945, German war production was actually at higher levels than it had been in 1940 when they were at the top of their game. Why is that? Because two things historians tell us. Number one, the German people were propagandized. Their media told them everything looks bad now, but it's going to get better. We have secret weapons coming. We're going to turn this around. Be patriotic. Go to work. And they did. And then the second thing is secret terror. If you tried to stand up and say, hey, something's gone wrong here, then you were a defeatist. and you'd be arrested by the Gestapo and you disappeared. Okay, we've got the same thing in this country today. We've got a news media that's under the control of five international corporations, which keeps telling us everything's okay. We might have a little bit of a recession going, and at the same time, we have secret terror, just like Congressman Ron Paul's, who's causing problem, and his plane suddenly has real serious trouble.
And then has a nose
Paul
right
Wellstone,
down.
He didn't walk away from his.
Now let's stop. Let's stop because I ran ahead with Big Picture with one of the leading historians on the reality of what really happened, Jim Mars, all documented in his bombshell book available at Infowars.com. All of you have got to get The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Buy four or five copies. Give it to everybody you know. It's vital. We have it where you can also get it at a discount with my film Martial Law, which spends an hour on this with incredible stuff showing the Nazis in Madison Square Garden. I mean, right at the start of World War II, unbelievable stuff. You need to get it at Infowars.com. But I want to go back, and we'll keep you in the next hour, Jim, and we're going to push back Bob Chapman a little bit here with some economic news because I cut you short with Paul. But I don't want to skip over the Vatican. I cut you off there to give Big Picture. I want to go back to what you were talking about with Ratzinger. Then let's look at other areas of the globalist control. And then project forward into the future and bring in the Bushes and the rest of it. Okay,
sounds
Jim?
Good to me.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, after the war, the same people who had been instrumental in financing Hitler, John J. McCloy of National City Bank, which is now Citicorp, Alan Dulles, who was OAS chief in Switzerland during the war, and then moved to Berlin, and then came over here and began. It was the longest serving CIA director, and his brother John Foster Dulles, who became Secretary of State under Dwight Eisenhower, and under these folks, they pardoned and whitewashed the Nazi backgrounds of thousands of Nazis, and actually brought them into the United States. Now, we know that we brought in all their rocket scientists, Wernher von Braun, who headed the Marshall Space Center and was instrumental in getting us to the moon. We also know there were other top Nazis, such as General Walter Dornberger of the Luftwaffe, who came over and ended up as the vice president of Bell Helicopter. And then there were thousands of others, including their mind control experts and their pharmaceutical experts and people who had worked with the IG Farben chemical combine, and they all came into this country and were rolled into our military-industrial complex, which Dwight Eisenhower warned us about as he was leaving office, and then they slowly began to just take over the national security apparatus of the United States and turn this into a national security state, which is what we have today. And I guess probably one of the key things that happened was in September of 1947 when Harry Truman signed the National Security Act of 1947. This created the CIA, rolled all the intelligence functionings under this one umbrella, separated the Air Force from the Army, changed the name of the War Department to the Defense Department.
Stay there. We got a break. Come back. But I'm going to make you go back to the Vatican, though. I want to talk about that and that role, too. Jim Mars is our guest, 15 minutes in the next hour, then Bob Chapman joins us. I got to get Jim up here for 2 hours, talk about his new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, so you can call in. Now, I want to go back, because we also see them forming the new European Union now. We see everybody converting over there to Catholicism, because they admit European Union is going to be basically a super state of that. And I've always tried to not bash groups and not make it about Jews or Catholics or Arabs, because it only is divisive. But to admit the corruption of these institutions is a healthy thing. That doesn't mean the individuals. And so a lot of people decried that I wouldn't say this about Zionists or that about Catholics. Hey, if it gets us on the road to fight the New World Order and moving on and admitting that they're in control of every major group, then fine. You want it, you'll get it here. I've had many guests over the years actually talking about the Vatican, but we haven't done it with any vitriol. But if people want that, we will do that. Because there's certainly plenty of evil there. Now, give me lots of Vatican evil here. Let me hear, just give it all to me, Jim.
Well, what you know, they argue back and forth about Pope Pius the 12th and the 11th. Pope Pius the 11th came out very strongly against the Nazis and then suddenly died while being treated by a doctor who happened to be, I'm sure by sheer coincidence, the father of Clara Petacci, who was the mistress to Benito Mussolini, the dictator of Italy. And Pope Pius the 12th came in, and what everybody loses sight of is that in July of 1933, just a few months after Hitler had taken power in Germany, a concordat was reached between Pope Pius and Nazi Germany. And this is still in effect today. And according to this concordat, there was to be no interference by the church in political affairs, and it also required all bishops to take a loyalty oath to the state and required all priests to be German citizens and subordinate to government officials. So in other words, basically, it was the state taking over the church.
And by the way, we now see faith-based initiative, billions of dollars. We told you a year before it was in mainstream news, secretly paying preachers to be on Homeland Security payroll and to give pro-government, anti-gun sermons to submit.
And exactly. Now,
so it's all happening here. It doesn't matter what denomination it is happening.
The same thing is happening all over again. And in fact, up until the time of Ronald Reagan's administration, we had declined to recognize the Vatican as a separate national state. But under the Reagan administration, and you'll find out that his vice president was George Herbert Walker Bush, and Reagan, of course, was shot less than 2 months after he took office, and Bush was pretty well running the show, along with his advisors, and along with Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, and other corporate leaders. And at this time, Reagan recognized the Vatican as a sovereign state, and they now have an embassy in Washington, D.C. And, of course, it was also Reagan who, despite violent protests from veterans organizations and Jewish organizations, nevertheless went to Germany and laid a wreath in Bitburg Cemetery where all these SS officers had been buried, and everybody just thought that was absolutely, outrageous. But it also shows how powerful the Nazi influence had become by the 1980s.
And then, meanwhile, we're going to get when we come back into the Bushes and their Nazi pedigree. You can't make this stuff up. Truth is so bizarre and blows away the wildest fiction. Jim Marrs is our guest. We are so honored to have him with us today. The new book that is hot off the presses and available right now in the secure online video and bookstore shopping area at InfoWars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. You can also write to us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live now into hour number three. Bob Chapman coming up in 15 minutes. Jim, I'm going to have you back next week. This has been just too amazing, the information. You've dug up a lot of new info with all the other documented info in the book. In the 15 minutes we've got left, go ahead. You've got the floor, other key areas. Run us through into the modern times and what we're facing.
Well, to pick up where we left off with the concordant with the Catholic Church in Germany, The rumor is that basically they had reached an agreement, the Vatican and Adolf Hitler, that when they conquered the world, that Catholicism would then be named as the predominant religion of the world. It's this type of thing that caused our forefathers in this country to separate church from the state, And unfortunately, in the last couple of elections, we've seen a lot of religious overtone and a lot of religious organizations who have gotten very active in the political process. And many of those people, through the most correct instincts, you know, this is what really disturbs me, is that especially down here in Texas, we do have so many true conservatives. They want to conserve the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. They want to conserve family values. They want border security. They want less government, and they have the right instincts. The problem is they've been led by the nose by these neocons or national socialists who adhere to Illuminati philosophy, which is the end justifies the means, which means they will do anything to accomplish their purposes. They will lie, cheat, steal, pretend to be anybody or anything, even kill. This was at the heart of the Nazi philosophy, and they've now brought it to this country. And I think you and many other people are doing an excellent job of trying to rouse the interest and the focus of the public, because there are more of us than there are of them, but they've got us divided and distracted, and we must unite and act as truly free American citizens of all colors, stripes, religions. And what we have to do is find our common ground, and I think the common ground would be individual liberty. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, Jim. Continue.
Well, and the thing is, that presents the biggest problem to this New World Order. The fact that in America we have a tradition of individual freedom and liberty, and second, we have a legal foundation for such individual liberty and freedom, namely the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And by the way, any problem we're having in this country today is not because of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. It's because we are not following the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. And then finally, the biggest obstacle is because we not only have a tradition of freedom, we also have a legal foundation, we also have guns. And so they have had to work very hard to disrupt and destroy the sovereignty and the cohesiveness of the United States of America, but they have been quite successful because, first, they gained control over the mass media. There are now five corporations that control everything you see and hear, and I'm not just talking about news. I'm talking about billboards and CDs and music and films and movies and cable and satellite. They're all controlled by one of five corporations, one of which, by the way, is Bertelsmann of Germany. This was a company that is still privately owned, and during the war, it was the largest publisher of Nazi propaganda for the German army. And today it controls all but two or three of the major publishers in the United States.
All right, Jim, got a break. Final segment with Jim Mars, then Bob Chapman to look at the economy. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Bob Chapman's coming up in about 6 minutes with economic news and information, joining us weekly. A lot of big developments there. Then Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joins us coming up next hour, and we'll have some open phones and a bunch of news I haven't even gotten to yet. Up on Infowars.com, we have more details of the Willie Nelson event. I couldn't bring myself to ask him to have a big 9/11 truth / anti-war event. A caller did it, and then Willie told me, well, try to work it out, figure it out, we'll do it. And then I called up Jesse Ventura, they're friends, and Jesse said he will come if they do the event. Oh, man, it's crazy. So we'll be talking about that more later. It's all up on Infowars.com right now. Now, let's go back to Jim Mars with his book put out by a major publisher. Jim, before you finish up, that was quite a victory to get a major publisher to put this out.
Well, yeah, that's true. And there were some tense moments during the editing process, and I'm not sure exactly how all that got overcome, other than that's one of the keys to this corporate control. You know, the definition of fascism is the blending of state and corporate power, And the only difference we have today is that in pre-war Germany, the state gained control over the corporations, and in modern America today, the corporations have gained control over the state. But the end result's the same. It's this fusion of state and corporate power, which is the very definition of fascism. And here's what's interesting, Alex. I know that everybody, almost everybody today, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, everybody realizes that we're in trouble in this country and that we've taken a wrong turn somehow. And yet nobody seems to know what to do about it because they're, as you well know, they're all fighting with each other and pointing their fingers at each other. And the liberals blame the conservatives, and conservatives blame the liberals, and the Democrats, and the Republicans, and the gays, and the heterosexuals, and the Catholics, and the Protestants, and the Jews, and they just keep everybody fighting with each other. And I think that what I would hope with my new book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, is that we can all turn and point the finger at the international globalists who first financed communism and then financed Hitler and the Nazis and are now building a fourth empire or Reich in the United States.
And they've written a bunch of textbooks admitting this. The Milner Group, the head of the Georgetown political science, Carol Quigley. I mean, we know what's going on. That's why there's so much confusion, because people can't think at that level for some reason. They've got to obsess. They can see the New World Order. And they think if you say it's multiple groups, you're giving comfort to one of the groups. No, it's like if five guys rob a bank, we're saying all five are equally co-guilty in this, and every major group, Israel, Germany, the communists, the communist Chinese, it's all New World Order, and they meet in these global crime syndicate meetings. We've stolen their minutes. We've snuck in their meetings. And we've got to come together against global centralized power. That cuts off the drive shaft of their system. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And we need to call them by their proper name. And it's interesting because they are the one group that it's still politically correct and socially acceptable to vilify. They are Nazis. They are national socialists. And we need to identify them as such and band together and point the finger at the true culprits, the five bank robbers who are national socialists. They're Nazis. The Nazis are robbing a bank, and we need to make people aware of that. Wouldn't you agree, Alex?
Absolutely. And see, they created communism because they needed a evil system to chew up countries, grab things, fool the serfs, to rebel against the old imperiums so the British could take those over. But it doesn't work as well as fascism, because fascism uses free market. It says every child you kidnap through color of law, CPS worker, you get $2,000 bonus personally. Well, they want to make $100,000 a year, and most of them do. They go out and steal kids. Or, you know, cops, you want to share an asset forfeiture seizure for violating the Constitution, taking goods without any proof or any due process, you get money. You want to be mercenaries getting $180,000 a year to kill innocent people and commit crimes and do all of this and run death squads? Instead of $20,000 a year as some grunt, okay, we'll do it. And so that is the fascist system. It is a piratical, booty-sharing, loot-sharing system.
Absolutely. And that is the very system that they are trying to impose on the United States of America. And if the American people don't wake up pretty soon and throw off the yoke of political party partisanship and start standing up for true freedom and liberty, then, you know, we're going to all end up in the camps.
Exactly. Our movement, and it's turned in on itself, and so much COINTELPRO, while it's blasting forward, expanding, there's these pockets of festering infighting. Folks, it has to stop. I mean, we know they're taking our liberties, attacking our Bill of Rights. We know we can stand for that. We can stand against wars, against innocent nations. We all have to agree on that now and wake up as many people as you can, instead of standing around pontificating about, you know, who's got it honed down the best. I'm telling you, I just cover the pure research. I go where the facts lead me. And what Jim Mars is saying is the absolute truth. It is what the evidence shows. It is history. And you try to explain to people that the Zionists worked for the Nazis and the Nazis worked for the British. And, I mean, you try to explain that they worked for the Rothschilds. People just can't figure that out. It's too bizarre. These people are slick. We have their documents. We know. Get the book in better bookstores everywhere. The Rise of the Fourth Reich by Jim Mars, already multiple-time best-selling author, incredible researcher. It's available on Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Get The Rise of the Fourth Reich. We have it in stock. It's sold out some places. Again, make this book big. Order multiple copies. This cracks the code. This breaks down what I've been trying to tell you. People make fun of me. I say, doesn't matter if it's top Zionists, top Catholics, Protestants. You know, just like you'll see Pat Robertson with Al Sharpton saying global warming's real, pay a global tax. They're all together. You can read the Margaret Sanger stuff where they went and hired black leaders to fool the blacks into following them. They are slick. Jim and I are risking our lives to do this and dedicating our lives. This is not a game. You better get serious and get your head screwed on, because if you don't, folks, they're going to win and it's going to be bad. Jim Mars, you only scratch the surface of your book because I've read it. I want to have you back on next week for 2 hours, Jim, to really, because we only got in the first third of it. I want to get into what's happening in the modern times, the Bushes, all of it. Okay, Jim?
Right. We need to get into the drugging of America, the dissolution of our education system.
The family, the Nazis did it all.
Oh, yeah. And they're following the same game plan is what's so incredible. They're not even altering their tactics. They're doing the same thing they did in Germany, and it's working over here. In my study of Hitler and the Third Reich, my biggest question was, how could those Germans, who in the 1930s were among the most educated and cultured people in the world, how could they allow themselves to get sucked into Hitler and the Holocaust and everything else that happened? And now I understand it, because it's happening here.
Exactly. And again, Germany with the PhD, the British with the social working system, the U.S., they all shared info. It is an amalgamation. And
look at our choice today. We're in an election year, and you can vote for Obama, Barack Obama, who is backed by Zygmunt Brzezinski and his son and the Trilateral Commission, or you can vote for McCain, who's backed by Henry Kissinger and the Council on Foreign Relations. And the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, was the progenitor of the Trilateral Commission. So you get to choose between Tweedledee or Tweedledum, and they're both controlled by the same folks.
Yeah, you get to shoot yourself with two different brands of .45 hollow point. Thank you so much, Jim. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
There goes Jim Mars. I appreciate Bob Chapman coming on a bit late with us for the rest of the hour. We'll open the phones up at the bottom of the hour. Ron Paul came on during the middle of Jim's interview, so things got a bit askew. Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com, at one time the biggest gold and silver broker in the world, had the biggest newsletter in the world, retired for a while, came back. It is the internationalforecaster.com. He was colleagues with Gary Allen, helped put out the book, None Dare Call a Conspiracy. He is one of the only living icons of the Patriot movement that is the progenitor of so much of what we're witnessing today. I want to get into economics in 4 minutes when we come back from break, but you've been on hold for about six or seven listening to Jim Mars. You worked in intelligence in Europe before you got into brokerage and the stock market. What is your take on what you heard us talking about?
I think it's absolutely correct. I felt like a voice in the wilderness 8 years ago when I started to describe the direction which the Illuminati was headed, which was deeply into fascism. And I'm so glad to see others have picked it up along the way as well. We need all the voices we can to tell the people the truth, and that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. What do you want to cover when we get back from break? So much has happened since you were on Monday.
The market's getting taken apart today. I've got some commentary I can make on gold and silver and why it's acting the way it is. And just wherever it leads us, you know.
We'll be taking calls on the economy with Bob Chapman at 1-800-259-9231. It is a live radio show, the 24th of July, 2008. On this Thursday edition, 1-800-259-9231. We got about a minute and a half towards break, but Bob, go ahead and get started.
Well, first of all, we saw today a continued attack on gold and silver. And I cover what transpired in this Saturday's issue, which you all can get a free copy of if you're not subscribers, under the gold section. And what happens is, and happens frequently, is that the commercials in the gold and silver markets, they sell calls to people. And there's a call to purchase gold or silver at a future price up until a certain date. And that certain date this month is this next Monday. And so gold was deeply, and silver to some extent, into the money on these calls. And so the commercials, and of course the CFTC is looking right at them, and they're pounding the price down so they don't have to pay these people.
Bob, stay there, and let's put it in layman terms, because of, I can follow you, but I've been studying this for a while. Other folks may not be able to follow you, so in layman terms, when we get back, what's happening and why this is so important. They try this all the time. It's not going to work. We'll also be taking your phone calls, as I said. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, is our guest. Be sure and check out my websites, PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.net. Okay, Bob, what is going on with the rigging of these markets that, by their very design, are insider trading cash machines for the elite, and of course the public pays as the suckers?
Well, as I was discussing, we have a group of people who are called commercials, who are traders in on the COMEX in both gold and silver, and they sell to the public calls, and like you can buy a call to purchase gold at $920, and you pay a fee for that. And when the term is up, usually a month and a half or 2 months hence, then if the price of the gold is $950, you've made some money for yourself. And when we see, and this is very prevalent in August, which is at the end of the July month, and also in December, these are the big months historically. And when you see a great many contracts or options that have been sold to people are what they call in the money. In other words, they're profitable. What happens is, like clockwork, with the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation, standing by watching them do this market rigging, they drive the price down like they just did from $980 to $920 an ounce and wipe out the profits of all of those people who have those call options. And that's one of the reasons why we saw this recent correction. And those contracts terminate on Monday, so there's only two trading days left after today, and then the pressure will be relieved and gold will turn around along with silver and go right back up again. And sometimes the United States government is behind that doing it, and sometimes they're not. And more often than not, they are. We can't prove that because when we question government, they won't tell us that because we don't have a need to know, and it's a secret.
What is the mechanism, and they'll occasionally lop the head off of some mid-level person or some low-level person like Martha Stewart involved in nothing while the main crimes go on to throw somebody to the wolves. The naked shorting, what is the predatory mechanism? And we know they don't just do things to keep new money or new elites down and smaller, faster moving, more aggressive companies down. What is the mechanism profit wise for the naked shorting of companies that are smaller?
Well, shorting, in order to short, you bet a stock is going to go down. And let's say it's IBM and IBM's 100. And you want to bet on 100 shares on the short side of the market that IBM is going to go down. But in order to do that, the brokerage firm that you're with must be able to borrow that stock. And you pay a fee to borrow that stock from somebody else. That's the way the system works. And if you don't do that, you've got a naked short. Now, there's two profit centers here, basically. The first one is the bank, the brokerage firm, the investment bank, who lends the stock gets paid for it. The client whose stock that they borrow doesn't get paid for it. They call it a hypothecation agreement. And so what the banks, the brokerage firms, et cetera, have been doing is, let's say 1,000 people came to them and wanted to borrow 100 shares of IBM stock. And let's say they only had 100. What they were doing and are doing today is lending 1,000 people that 100 shares of stock. And they're getting paid for it, that fee, And at the same time, they're allowing all these people to go naked short. And some of them aren't aware that they're naked short, and some are. The second phase of that is in trading departments. I belong to the LA Traders for 25 years, and I was a professional trader as well as a stockbroker. And in doing transactions in particular stocks, if you initiate a short, you're supposed to have that stock available in-house or from somebody else to be able to borrow if, as a trader, you're shorting. Well, these traders don't want to bother to find out, because they're going 50 miles an hour, whether they get the stock in-house or not. They just do the trade. And so very, very often, they know that they're naked short, but they don't care, because nobody ever calls it on it. So that's another profit center. The most important part of naked shorting to me is the ability of large companies, at the behest of the United States government, to drive down the prices of specific stocks.
Stay there. Bob Chapman, more on this and a lot more. The Economic Outlook, your phone calls straight ahead, 1-800-259-9231, Infowars.com. Continuing, Bob Chapman, with what you were breaking down there with the naked shorting and what's happening and why they do it to drive down certain key stocks at certain times, and then other important things that are happening in the market, and then I want to go to some calls, sir.
Okay, and so they do target specific stocks, like the gold and silver shares, but more than that, they target small companies. And the reason why is they want them out of business. And the reason they want them out of business is that they want all the money to flow to the New York Stock Exchange stocks or the big capitalization stocks, and they don't want anything in between. And that's why the SEC chases down mid-tier and lower, smaller brokerage firms and harasses the heck out of them.
Yeah, the big firms could be cutting women's heads off on national TV, having sex with goats. I mean, you know, whatever. Just the wildest stuff in front of everyone. That's okay. But if a mid-sized firm has a crooked toenail, they're going to have SWAT teams coming on them.
That's right. And the little brokers, they just absolutely drive them all out of business. I mean, I've seen instances where they've taken the list of customers of a broker, and the SEC and the NASD have called them trying to get the clients to bring some sort of charge against the broker. It is unspeakable what they do. And so that's all part of that syndrome. So naked shorting is used to make a lot of money and drive down the price of a stock, sometimes to zero.
Now, Bob, there's so much going on. What is most important for listeners to be aware of that's happening economically right now? Like, what's going on with oil going down by $25 a barrel?
Oil went down for two reasons. Number one, there was a massive margin call, and there was a very large firm which just went bankrupt, and they were long oil, and they got caught. They had to cover their shorts, and that drove the price up, you know, to $147 a barrel. When that happened, producers stepped in and started selling oil forward. Mexico was one of the big sellers, and they drove oil back down again. They thought that was a good price to sell their oil out, and that's natural. Anyway, I think oil has support level 120, 125. I think we've seen, again, a short-term, intermediate-term bottom on gold and silver. It's a buy-in here at these levels. They banged it and banged it and banged it today, and they came right back again. And so I like the positions. Incidentally, there's a reverse head and shoulders on gold, and it's about ready to fly. And so,
folks that don't understand, they believe it was the summer peak, as they do in the cycle. People are going to think now that $4 a gallon is great, and then next summer it'll be $5, $6 a gallon, and then we'll then go back in the winter back down to $4.50, and people think it's low. That's the cycle. Look at the 7-year graph on oil. And so you're saying they dumped a whole bunch of oil, Mexico and others, on the market at its peak. That created a glut for a time. And then now we will see oil prices not peak again above 147, 150 until next summer? Or do you think because of dollar implosion, we're going to see that earlier?
It's hard to say. But I don't see it going down much either. An absolute bottom would be $80. More likely, it'll trade between $1 and $150. And that's, of course, if there's no wars going on, that a new wars.
So if like a war happens, different analysts say different things. Some OPEC says unlimited. Others say $8 a gallon is conservative. What are we going to be paying if they blow the hell out of that place?
Well, I would think oil would probably go to $300. And what that translates into gasoline, I don't know. But
$9.
I don't think it would stay there for a long time, Alex. I think it would be a temporary thing, just like it was back in the 70s. You know, that didn't last very long, and it was of a different nature.
How bad would a 3 or 4 month run of $8, $9 a gallon, what would that do to the economy?
Well, it certainly would affect GDP. It would probably take it down about 0.5 or 1%, and it's already 2.5% minus, irrespective of the phony numbers our government puts out. And you know, they are even calling for growth for the third quarter of 0.05%, which is 0.5%, and that's just not so. I'm looking for a -3. But you'll never see that because the government fudges their figures.
That's right. The economy is in massive contraction, and they're running around saying it's milk and honey in the streets, and if it's a conspiracy theory if you don't love it.
That's correct. And, you know, they just ran the stock market up 900 points, and mostly behind that were the big brokerage firms on instructions from Treasury and the Fed. And, of course, both of them were in manipulating the market at the same time. And yesterday, the market started to run out of gas on the upside, and today it's down over 200 points.
Why is October and November the time that we normally see massive stock reductions, and what do you think we're going to see this fall?
Why is it? I think it's historical more than anything else, but I think people are starting to realize. A report came out today from the head analyst, Merrill Lynch, said that earnings were not going to be nearly as good as people thought they were going to be, and he expected the market to sell off, and that's a logical conclusion. But I think the market's going to get hit again in October, irrespective of the election, because the people behind the throne, so to speak, don't care who's elected. Yeah. They control them both.
37% drop in projected profits for American Express, one of the supposedly safer, more conservative credit card lending groups. We have all these other economic numbers of factory shutdowns, businesses contracting, the inflation. They're not being able to keep that under wraps. It's old folks are now on fixed incomes getting really upset. Can you talk about that and tie it into the bank runs we're seeing and give us a six-month forecast on what we're going to see? Then we're going to go to calls.
Well, I think we can go sideways to lower in the markets. I think gold and silver will go higher. Inflation will officially go higher. It's now 13.25% by my numbers. We're going to see more hijinks. Did you have Ron Paul on today, did you say?
Yes, I did. They're having an emergency meeting about all the oil manipulation today.
Yeah, I saw part of that. And one of the things that Ron brought out was in this legislation that they're passing to bail out the banks and Fannie Mae. What they tucked into that thing was that if you're using credit cards, the IRS wants a copy of all of your transactions. And what they're trying to do there is back into and net asset audit you by using those statements. That's what they're up to.
Well, it's an automatic reporting system. It's an automatic reporting system.
Exactly. And what you want to do is stop using your credit cards. Only use them when you must. Do business in cash, and that'll shut off the IRS at the pass.
Well, here's another horrible piece of news. ABC News is reporting that big gas station chains, because their insurance companies, others tell them do it, they do it. That's how this corporate fascism works, are saying you're going to have to register everywhere to buy gas and use a credit card. They're saying they're not going to be accepting cash. So, I mean, they're really clamping.
I saw that this morning.
I mean, they're not playing around. I mean, this is it.
Well, we know what to do, and that is to inform everybody of what they're doing so the people rise up, and it will happen. We're on the right track. We got them on the run. They know they've missed again. On this time, we're not going to let them get away.
Well, here's the deal. They know going into a huge recession already in it and in a depression guaranteed the next 3 years, there are the more cops, more tickets, more taxes, more regulations. They know we can't pay it. And then now tracking all of our purchases, instant uploads, tracking everything you do, not just to tax you, but to have your behavioral records in there, learning about different relationships, destroying black markets, which are what only thing that keeps us alive, whether it's mowing yards or garage sales, new environmental taxes. I mean, they aren't going to stop, Bob. What do you think's behind this? Just squeezing and going, just destroying us.
It's a control of all of our assets, knowing where everything is. That's what they've been doing for the last 8 years, even among multimillionaires, who, some of whom have been hiding their assets offshore. And they want to corral all that money so they can control it. And I expect that if this Lieberman bill is passed, which would limit any entity, particularly pension funds, from buying more agricultural or energy commodities than government thought was necessary, I think that that bill will eventually lead to currency controls. And that means you won't be able to move your money out of the country or be in the foreign exchange market unless the government allows you to.
Well, you'll have to go through their selected pet puppies and then get a bigger cut to them.
And that's J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, you know, the same old group of criminals.
Unbelievable. Let's take calls. I love the grab bag of questions that come out. John in Virginia, you're first out of the hat. Welcome. You're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You bet.
I was calling talk about the Bible, but I was asked to relate it to the Federal Reserve since Mr. Chapman's on the air. And so my point is that the Federal Reserve, I agree with you, that's a form of enslaving the people by letting the bankers print the money and then lend it to us. However, you say that the Bible is all about fighting evil. A few Bible quotes, if I could just quote Titus chapter 2, verse 9.
Go ahead.
Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters.
Look, I know you're looking for a reason to lay down and do nothing, so do nothing. That's fine. That's your choice. Just please don't tell us to lay down and do nothing, okay?
How about the Word of God?
Yeah. Well, you can twist the Bible however you want. There's a million places in the Bible where it says stand up against tyranny. Why did the disciples get killed? Why did prophets get killed or be put in prison? Why didn't they mind the king when he said, you know, do this or I'll put you in the lion's den? Look, I am not going to have some crazy excuse, you know, for not standing up here. I appreciate your call, sir. And if you don't like the radio show, don't tune in or go write lies about me on the internet or whatever you want. I am not going to stand by while DynCorp kidnaps little children. Okay, for sex slave rings. I am not going to stand by while they rape the dollar and the economy. I'm not going to stand by where they taser people to death 4 or 5 times a day. I am not going to stand by while they try to start World War III with Iran and then tell me that it's in the Bible. Bob? You got
I
any comments to that, John?
I you know, everybody can find a reason to avoid things.
What about the Word of God? That's all completely twisted. That's it. Call my uncle right now. He's our Bible scholar. I want to get him on. John, you got the number from the other day. Let me just IM it to you and get him on for 5 minutes for the next hour when Dr. Roberts comes on. I just can't handle it anymore. I just can't handle it. I mean, we are going to hell in a handbasket, and Americans look for any excuse to lay down. They said Hitler, Romans 13, lay down to him. They, in Rwanda, when the Tutsis were killing the Hutus, or vice versa, the Hutus were killing the Tutsis, they said, lay down, it's of the Lord. I mean, Bob, I'm just sick of this bull. I can't handle it anymore.
I can't either, especially when you've been in the middle of it and you see all this violence and death. And I lived in Africa, and I was there when the communists, which were what they call the ANC, and the other groups that were in Rhodesia, because I spent most of my time in Rhodesia. And, you know, I used to carry an AR-15 and a 357 all the time.
You shouldn't do that. You should just lay down and take your wife and kids out and get them slaughtered, because that's what God wants. And you shouldn't even warn people about it. I mean, take this logical lay down thing. Just let them rape us financially. Don't even try to protect your money. Don't ever do anything. Hell, why even eat food? The Lord wants you to lay down. Just starve to death in a ditch. Sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
No, I agree.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's certain times you have to do things in life, and you are a human being, and you have free choice. So if you want to lay down, that's okay. we'll just walk around you. But I'm not going, and obviously you're not going to lay down. So
exactly.
That's the end of that.
Get you and your demonic spirit out of my way. Get out of our way! Sorry, Bob, I don't mean to get mad while you're on. I just...
That's okay. That's okay.
The weakness in that guy's voice.
If you don't let it out, you'll probably have a heart attack.
That guy's voice, that weakness, just drives me insane.
Well, you know, we all have a calling in life, and we all get a certain amount of tools to work with. And there are a lot of people who have a limited amount of tools. And so they go off in oblique directions.
Let me tell that guy something. You better warn people about sodium fluoride and mercury in the vaccines. At least warn somebody about something and help somebody for once in your life. Instead of just jellyfishing around with limp wrists. I just can't help it. Sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
I had to take DPMS shots because I had so much mercury. Have you ever heard of those?
No, I think.
Yeah, I had them twice. And they put the needle in and it stays in there about 3 or 4 minutes while they pump that. I guess it's called sludge into your body to clear out your veins and get rid of the mercury. But I had to go through that twice, and I was told that I ate too much fish, and maybe that's so. But one of the reasons, too, was I used to do a lot of reloading, and not knowing and understanding at that time, I'd put the primers in my mouth, and I'd take them out one by one and stick them in the cap. And I think maybe I get some mercury doing that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's in them. All right, let's go ahead and talk to Chris in Canada. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, nobody.
Go ahead.
You there, Alex?
Yes, I am.
Okay, first of all, in regards to that last caller, I don't understand how they're killing us. It's right in front of you, and you just stand down because the Bible tells you to. That's ridiculous. This is kind of off topic for today's show. But I reading my local paper yesterday, there was an article, and it said, the headline was, "The United Nations denies water as a human right."
You're kidding.
They deny it as a human right.
Yeah, everywhere they're getting ready to tax the water, even in England where they have too much of it, everywhere they're doing it. This is only the beginning. Bob Chapman, your comments on that.
You're absolutely right, and there's been large international corporations who have been trying to take over water in every country. Bechtel is one of them, and there's a French company, I forget the name of it.
Artificial scarcity, they're bringing that in.
Yes, and what they do is, more often than not, they've gone into poorer countries, taken over the water system, not repaired it, raised the rates where it's taking 20% of the person's daily pay just to get water. And in some countries like Peru, they just threw them out.
That's in the IMF documents. They even have paramilitary police that then guard major rivers and reservoirs. And they have little environmental police that watch and see if you're putting buckets out to get rain. They take your water in rainforest, ladies and gentlemen, and have men in black uniforms trying to keep you from opening your mouth and having it go in. The bastards want to tax the water, the air, everything. And that jellyfish that called earlier probably thinks it's good.
Well, the way you handle that is to eliminate the guys in the black uniforms.
Oh, no. You worship them and lick their boots. Anything else there, Chris?
In regards to taxing the air, they've already, in a way, I don't know about states, but in Canada, in July, they did the carbon tax. And when you breathe, when you exhale, what do you exhale?
And you're going to have a carbon card, they admit this, that taxes you for breathing. And the jellyfish are going to love it, folks. They love it all. Cops love it. Roll your sleeves up. Give your children brainwasher, brain damage shots. Just do whatever you want. Fine. Just have it all. Just love it all. We'll be right back with Bob Chapman.
We don't need no education.
I've only got 5 minutes with Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com. Go there, get a free digital copy of it. There's a toll-free number on the site as well. We got Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. I want to have Patrick Butch Paul called in, who's on the network, and then I'm also going to get my uncle on, just read a few Bible verses to that jellyfish coming up for people that follow that, people that follow the preachers that tell them to lay down. That's FEMA paid-off preacher talk. For Bob Chapman, Matt in Missouri, you're on the air, then Bob in Kentucky. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Alex, you're doing a great job. Just a little off-topic also, but I had a story for you about black helicopters. I know you have some people.
It's the night. It's FEMA. It's the Delta Force. It's the Night Stalkers out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Right. I'm actually a disabled veteran, and I was stationed out in Virginia in 2000. And next to our hangar, we had a CIA hangar next to ours on the base. And, of course, I had a bunch of signs that said, you know, no pictures.
And they were just plane loads of narcotics coming in, huh?
And they had a lot of helicopters also that looked like they were civilian helicopters, but, you know, they were also theirs. But the thing I was going to tell you about is they had at least one, I don't know how many, but they had black, I believe they're Blackhawks, if my memory serves me correctly. But the crazy thing is, you know, usually when a helicopter lands, you know, they would land outside the hangar and then tow the helicopter in from there. Well, these things, they would fly directly into the hangar, and then they would shut the doors real fast. Which is kind of strange, you know.
Little kids, yeah.
Right. But I just thought I'd share that with you.
That's what they do. Pure demon evil, right out of the pit of living hell. Bob Chapman, comments on that.
Well, we've seen this for many years, and now it's become more and more obvious as they announce some of their incursions of different branches of the military into cities. And people who listen to this program are quite well aware of it. Most of the public is not. And they're getting ready for civil unrest and how to round up people and so on and so forth.
And it's been declassified. They've got the helicopters in those hangars ready with knockout gas. So it could have been that. Could have been drug trafficking, little kids. You never know. Bob?
I think we're going to have to visit some armories.
No, I think we should just come outside when they fly over with nerve gas and say, it is of the Lord. Ah. I think that's because, you know, that's the American thing to do. That's what the founding fathers would have done. Anything else, Matt?
I think that's it, Alex.
Call me back some other day. Tell me more. We're just flat out of time here. Let's talk to Bo in Kentucky for Bob Chapman. Last caller for him. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hey, Bob. I'm just a little person, and I just wanted to ask about copper. I can't afford gold and silver, you know, blah, blah. But copper is, you know, still around. Should I be saving it as opposed to recycling it when I come across them? You know, like rich people would be saving their gold?
No, I understand. Or like when they give you pennies back and some of them are actually copper. Bob?
Oh, those are the old ones. But
yeah, Bob?
Well, I think if you're a copper collector, I think you should sell it into the market because I think that those base metals are going to hold their own. They could go somewhat higher. It all depends on what events take place. But most of the base metals have come down in price. Copper had a high of 405. It's trading around 370. I think you should continue to cycle it into the market and take your profit and then perhaps move that over into gold and silver coins.
Yeah, take the money and run. Thank you so much, Bo. Everybody else, will get to you when Dr. Roberts is on with us. Thank you so much, Bob Chapman, for popping in with us today. Folks, check out his website, theinternationalforecaster.com. We'll see you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start the next hour, briefly get into the jellyfish activities of the FEMA-controlled churches. And because even if you're not a Christian and don't believe in any of this, the point is hundreds of millions of people do, and most of them crawl around their bellies in jelly like jellyfish. They don't have a bone in their body, and that's why we're in so much trouble. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts is coming up in 15 minutes. For TV viewers, we just started transmitting, streaming live for PrisonPlanet.tv members. And folks watching this later as an archive, we had a caller earlier that said, well, the Federal Reserve rules over us, it's private, but isn't that what the Bible says we should do? I mean, you know, it's don't stand up against slavery, don't not take the mercury-filled shots, don't not drink the fluoride water. Whatever government says is God. And I wanted to call my uncle, who's one of the best Bible scholars I know, William Hammond, and have him comment. But Butch Paw, who's a talk show host right here on the network, a pastor, who's also an expert on this and made some documentaries about it, called in. So we've got this segment and part of the next before Dr. Roberts comes on, because I wanted to address this now. And I wanted to go to my uncle, William. Go ahead and just spend a few minutes giving people verses or try to explain to this person that it's, I mean, I'm not even a Bible expert. The whole Bible is about standing up against tyranny. What's going on with these people?
You called me, Alex. I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to go to my uncle first.
Oh,
William?
Go ahead. I'll be right here.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everybody. All through history, both in the Bible and with most theologians, there's been the concept of just war, just resistance, unjust war, unjust resistance. And the Word of God is pretty clear that wars, just wars, involve defense, whereas unjust wars and unjust resistance involves aggression or open rebellion for rebellion's sake or for material reasons. So in the Word of God, we see that we're always juggling with this, and we are to obey. Romans 13 has that kernel of truth. However, when the government is clearly violating every single tenet of the Word of God and that which the Constitution and the nation was established upon, right down to our right to life of our unborn babies and our right to defend our own lives, then we know that we're bumping up against unjust activity and the activities of an aggressor. There is a scripture that says at the end in the kingdom that the swords will be beaten into plowshares, but there's also an Old Testament scripture calling for a just war that says beat your plowshares into swords. And Jesus himself said at the very end of his ministry, when he was advising his disciples and his apostles, he said, if you've got two coats, sell one and buy a sword. So he recognized that there was going to be terrible resistance to truth and righteousness, and it wasn't to be taken lying down doing nothing.
Okay, now stop there because I'm going to bring you guys back. Butch, give them some verses.
Well, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 11, you'll find in there very clearly where Jehoiada, the high priest of the day, the preacher, the head preacher, dethroned an unjust leader, a queen, and had her killed for daring to usurp authority over righteous government. And as your uncle just mentioned, Romans 13 tells us to obey powers, but if you read down in verses 3 and 4, those powers are to be ministers of God to our good. That word minister, it means deacon. The government itself is to be a deacon to glorify God and edify the good of the people. If it ceases to do good, it ceases to be righteous government, and then we are required by God's law and his commandments to resist that evil by all means necessary.
And Bush, the whole Bible, I don't know where to start, is about people standing up against evil.
The whole Bible is written on the Nehemiah chapter 4. It talks about resisting evil. In the Old Testament, Christ, as your uncle said, told his disciples, Luke 22:36, to buy a sword. That wasn't for slicing cheese and cleaning toenails. That was for fighting with. These are things that are clearly written out in the Scriptures, and people have got to quit listening to these mamby-pamby pulpit pimps. They're getting paid to tickle their ears. And understand, we're here to fight evil. We're here to expose it and fight it. Paul wrote Romans 13 from prison. Why was he in prison? For obeying Caesar or for disobeying Caesar?
Why did they kill so many of the prophets? Why did they do all that if they were to follow and grovel the government? And by this extension, the founding fathers are bad. Sure. Fighting Hitler was bad because it's all of God, isn't it?
Well, if people just take time to look the Bible for what it says and quit trying to weasel way around this, they are accountable for the evil around them. If we are not fighting evil, we're not doing the will of our Father.
Well, you're aiding it, and then the blood is on your hands. I want to talk behind the scenes for the internet listeners right now. We're going to skip this break. Everybody else will be right back. Guys, I know this is short notice, but it's crazy. It's all the prophets are being killed, put in prison. They're refusing to do what evil kings say in Israel, outside Israel, Babylon, Egypt. According to them, they should have done what Pharaoh said. They should have done what all of them said. Jesus should have done what the high priest and Herod said. This is unbelievable, and it's taught everywhere to not even warn people, because that's speaking out against the government, to take your shots, let them kill you, do whatever they say.
It's insanity. It's unbiblical. And I'll make one comment. Your uncle can talk all he likes too, because this is a point that is so important today, that if we render to Caesar what is not Caesar's, on my website, pastorbutch.com, there's a three-hour video anybody can watch for free entitled Render Unto Caesar Explained. If we give unto him what is not his, we make Caesar our God. We deny our God, and hell is our damnation. Just that simple.
And going back to my uncle, you want to make some more comments here?
Well, not only is the Bible on our side, but history is on our side.
Absolutely.
As believers, because in a practical sense, Christianity would not exist today if no resistance had taken place throughout history. Look at what the Romans tried to do to the believers. It's almost unspeakable.
They should have followed what the emperor said and worshiped Saturn and Mars right there. They are bad, according to what that guy said. They should have made sacrifices to the Roman gods.
Well, the point I just made was that Paul wrote most of the New Testament from prison. He wasn't in prison for obeying Caesar. He was there because he did not obey Caesar. In Numbers chapter 1, Numbers is called the war book in the Bible. Numbers chapter 1 is where our forefathers got the idea of a militia, civilian military. This is where our forefathers said, we will establish a civilian militia in our country and to protect our states and our nation. That's in their Bible.
Well, let me stop you. Going back to the founding fathers, going back to the Bible, Paul was somebody who hunted down and killed Christians until he got knocked off his horse and became Paul from Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. So there it is that Christians weren't following orders. He was going around hunting them down.
Exactly. They were resisting the civil authorities and the church of the day, very good point, the so-called church today, because they would not go along with the customs of the church. They said, this is not right. Christ is the Messiah. They were being persecuted by the church and by the civil authority, and we are today also, if we're standing for truth.
All right, we're going to come back to the main audience in 15 seconds, and so recap other key points. Both of you got about 2 minutes apiece. On the other side, we'll go back to my Uncle William, and then to you, Butch. Right now, here we go.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Paul himself was Saul of Tarsus, went around hunting down and killing Christians because they wouldn't submit to the civil or the religious authority. And then, of course, he got knocked off his horse on the way to Damascus, saw the light, was imprisoned. I mean, how did Paul end up? How did the other disciples end up? My Uncle William Hammond and, of course, Pastor Butch Paul, Genesis Network host at 8 o'clock at 9 Central. I want my uncle to have a two-minute closing comment, and then Butch, then we're going to get Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on right now.
Thank you. We were looking at the historical perspective, and we've come down to the Inquisition, which was a coldly calculated move throughout 800 or 900 years to totally wipe out true Christianity. If there had been no resistance, again, Christianity would not exist today. And moving to the tyranny of the kings of England, had there been no resistance to the kings, there would have been no America, because the people came here to found this place looking for freedom of faith. Look at Martin Luther. If he had not been, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther of the Reformation, if Martin Luther had not been backed by the arms of the German princes, there would have been no Reformation. It would have been swept away in a few days by the papal armies. So there was a lot of resistance there. And finally, I'd like to say that when Jesus comes back, and it's very soon, it's at the door, he's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a Lion of Judah.
Amen.
With 10,000 times 10,000 saints with a mighty sword to wipe out his enemies completely at the Battle of Armageddon. I would call that total resistance, wouldn't you, Alex?
Amen.
I just don't understand, Butch, the groveling, chicken-necked love of tyranny. And they always have the same voice, the same spirit of, oh, the Bible says lay down. And it's just like, oh, they're just like, oh. I mean, what has happened to these people?
Alex, they have been brainwashed. They are brainwashed. That's the simplest way I can put it. They have been brainwashed by their pastors. They do not study the word for themselves, and I did. And as
they're also afraid, and they think laying down is going to keep them safe.
Well, they're waiting for the rapture. They're not concerned. They're waiting. You know, they don't want to do anything, get involved. They don't want to lose their stuff. They worship the God of this world and their possessions more than they worship the Almighty. And I'm telling you again, the damnation is going to be their just reward. But again, as I told you a few minutes ago, that in Numbers chapter 1, our forefathers got the idea of a civilian militia. The Second Amendment was given in the Constitution for us, for the duty for us to overthrow unrighteous leaders. It's our duty. It's not just our right. It's our duty. This is a Christian duty to glorify our God. All through history, the battle has always been for mankind to overthrow unjust tyrants for the sake of freedom. And Christ come to give us all freedom. But this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And until we stand, and there is liberty, until we stand for that, as men and women who defy men who try to be gods, we do not deserve freedom. We deserve what we're getting.
Absolutely.
And God help the people that don't understand it, because I promise you, payday's coming.
I hear you. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. And that really is, thank you, that really is the crux of the problem, that you have tens of billions of dollars, 26,000 now, they're going to double that number by next year, FEMA pastors, we told you this one was secret, it's now public, trained to tell their flocks, turn your guns in, go to FEMA camps, let the government take your children. I mean, this is right out of Nazi Germany, Soviet Russia, and that's why one of the main reasons we can't get this country moving is that the churches are bought and paid for by these corporate interests and are out there spewing the line of this government. And I am just completely blown away by it. Every time one of those people calls in and says, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to not stand up against tyranny. And when it's just totally crazy. Number one, I had a financial guest on talking about financial news, and this guy calls in saying, you know, we basically shouldn't even criticize the Federal Reserve because God says no. I mean, I just can't handle this anymore. I mean, it's just so crazy. Now, if you want to go off in a ditch and be a slave, go ahead. Just get out of my way. Get behind me. Do we have Dr. Roberts?
He is all set.
Okay, thank you so much. Got late today with our guest, and I appreciate all the guests moving back 10 minutes because Ron Paul was going to be on earlier. He had to move it to the middle of another interview, so that is why we're a little bit behind. I'm very honored to have former Wall Street Journal associate editor, best-selling author, the father of Reaganomics, head of policy, Department of Treasury. That was number two under Ronald Reagan. And syndicated columnist with a great syndicated column group out there. You can just simply Google the name Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and see his stuff in hundreds of great publications. Liberal, conservative, libertarian, anybody who is informed reads Dr. Roberts' columns that come out several times a week. And we link to those over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And his second edition of his The Tyranny of Good Intentions is out, and I hope everybody will get it. And he's with us for the rest of the hour, and we're going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom of the hour at 1-800-259-9231. So much has happened since he was last with us a few weeks ago. Dr. Roberts, thanks for coming on.
Hello, Alex.
Hey, just a side issue before we get into the economy and Conyers blocking a real impeachment hearing coming up this Friday. We had Kucinich on yesterday. What do you think of all these mainline Christians that call into shows? I'm sure you've heard them. I know you've written about them, saying, do whatever government says, Romans 13, don't fight tyranny, torture's good, kill all the Iraqis, it's of the Lord. Now they're getting so crazy, Pastor Hagee saying Jesus isn't even the Savior. I mean, I know you don't get into religious stuff, but the point is, it's really getting wacky right now.
Oh, yeah. What passes for evangelical Christianity is far more barbaric and warlike religion than what they claim Islam is. So I see these people as a great threat to humanity. And they're certainly not Christians. There's nothing Christian about them. They're thugs. They want to murder women and children and drop nukes on people that they don't even know. I don't know what to make of it. It sounds like that they're about as crazy as that sect that went down there, whatever it was, the Jones sect, and they all drank Kool-Aid and killed themselves. Whores and Kool-Aid.
So. Well, I mean, we hear this mantra. In fact, I even heard a guy on the network yesterday on another show saying that Ahmadinejad wants nuclear war, has a bomb, is going to nuke Israel, Israel's defenseless.
Well, how does he know anything like that? He obviously doesn't have any information. Just saying whatever comes into his head.
Well, that's my question. Pat Robertson got up yesterday, we have the clip, and said they're going to get the A-bomb, Israel has to hit them, it's of the Lord. I mean, and this is the same group that lied about Iraq.
Of the Lord. Well, look, Alex, these are not Christians. These are murderers, liars. They're thugs. They're worse than the Nazis. They're not Christians. There's nothing Christian or religious about them. They're thugs, murderers, liars. They are a great threat to the continued existence of life on Earth.
No, I agree with you. I'm saying I understand the kingpins are just manipulating their minions and are secular, but my point is, how do they get all these little church ladies to just be complete pea brains. It's mind control.
Because they're pea brains to start with. Look, Alex, never forget that at least half the population is under the left side of the bell curve. And I sometimes think, Alex, that the entire American population is under the left side of the bell curve.
Well, there's no doubt that it's we've had it too good too long, and they just have no idea the dark waters are swimming
in. It's part of getting the population ready for the assault on Iran. This is Israel's look. Everybody who's knowledgeable and informed knows that Israel has turned down. It's now on the decline. The United States is on the decline. In fact, we're totally dependent now on the Chinese to finance the daily operation of our own government. So we're both on the decline. Our power is evaporating before our eyes. Israel has twice been defeated by the Hezbollah militia, the famed, invulnerable Israeli army got its ass kicked twice, driven out of Lebanon by a few thousand militia. The power is on decline. This is their last chance. Bush, assuming he doesn't pull a fast one, will be gone in 6 months. So right now, they got their finger on the button, and they're going to push and push and push and try to get a situation where their attack on Iran will be tolerated. And so that's what they're using the churches for. They've got all this out into the churches there. And that's what it's all about.
I agree with you. And Ray McGovern, Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, the list is legion. All say that they are going to attack. Ron Paul says in Congress it's a done deal. They're going to attack if Obama gets elected. They're going to attack right after the election. If McCain gets elected, it'll be right when he gets in office. Probably a staged terror attack to bring that in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they'll get away with it, but I certainly agree that that's what they want to do.
Your idea, sir, to stop this, is there any way to stop the total destruction of our country?
Well, I don't think that they're sane. I don't think that they live in a factual reality. I think that they want to do it bad enough, they'll fool themselves that they can. But I think it will leave, it will accelerate the collapse of American power and Israeli power. And if we think that our invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan and the Israeli bombings of the civilian Lebanese population and their murders in Gaza and the West Bank have radicalized Muslims, just wait till we nuke Iran. And then, most likely, all of our puppets will fall in the Middle East. Israel will probably be exterminated. Americans won't be able to borrow a dime. They'll have to close down most of the government since they can't finance it. I mean, it can be a catastrophic result.
And Satan laughing will spread his wings. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, stay there. Amazing analysis. Come back and hear more from him. Also, take your phone calls at the bottom of the hour for Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, 1-800-259-9231. His new book is out, The Tyranny of Good Intentions. Get it at bookstores everywhere. We've got to do our duty. Consequence belongs to God. We've got to try to warn people what this war is going to mean. The economy to our name. The military. I'm seeing mainline reports where the transport planes are full of garbage. The seats are all falling apart. Meanwhile, the Air Force and Army fly in luxury aircraft. There's cockroaches and rats and a whole bunch of the major VAs. Toilets overflowing at Bragg. I'm talking to Army people saying they've never seen anything like it, that the bases are falling apart. I mean, it really looks like the government has gone completely insane, Dr. Roberts.
Well, it not only looks like it, it's a fact. You won't get any argument out of me on that score, Alex.
I think that's another important sign of just the disconnect from reality we're seeing in the power structure, Dr. Roberts.
Well, don't you know they bragged on how disconnected they were, that they would create the reality and we'd have to go find out what it was. So they don't accept any limits. They think they're omnipotent. And it's so hilarious because these are the guys that can't occupy Baghdad. These are guys that have to rely on the Chinese to pay their salaries and lend us money to pay Social Security with, and lend us money to buy fuel for the planes we use to bomb civilians in the Middle East and Africa and wherever. And yet they think they're omnipotent. We already decided, didn't we, that they were insane. So, of course, that means they're a huge danger to us.
What is the best course of action to try to stop this from happening, or if it's going to happen, what do you think people should do?
I don't think people, short of taking up arms, and doing what Thomas Jefferson said that we needed to do every 200 years, and of course, he lived in the time of very slow change, so 200 years, he would probably shorten that if he was around today. Other than, you know, overthrowing the government, starting over, there's nothing we can do because they don't listen to us. The people don't count. Bush has made it clear there's no interest in public opinion. The Democrats aren't either. We mean the electorate tried to stop it when we elected the Democrats in 2006, and the Democrats did nothing. Did not use the power.
Why do you think Conyers and Pelosi are blocking any impeachment? Fear?
Paid off money. They've been bought. Somebody's put, you know, $10, $20, $30 million on an account somewhere for them. That's my view of it. I mean, I can't prove that. Nobody can prove it. But I think they're all bought. They're not any sincere people. Who do we know that's sincere in politics? Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich.
And Ron Paul almost died a few days ago. I'm sure you heard about that.
No, I didn't.
The depressurization and nosedive of the aircraft.
No, I didn't know about
with
that.
Seven congressmen on board?
Well, maybe that was a warning. Listen, I don't want to get too conspiratorial, and I don't want to get people too, you know, down and give up, but I think we reached the point now where it's out of our hands. The question really is how the rising powers view this. The rising powers are China, Russia, India. In 20 years, they'll rule the world. We'll be nothing. And the question is, how will they view this? Do the Russians want radioactivity, you know, on their borders? Do the Chinese want all their energy investments destroyed in Iran? Do the Europeans want this with their large Muslim populations who would probably be radicalized by it, and whether or not any of them do anything, and whether they all say, well, look, let's just let the fools go ahead because this is the best way to get rid of America.
Well, that's what the Russians are saying. They're saying, go ahead, fools.
Yeah, I think that's what the Chinese decided, that rather than interfere and then get in a conflict with us that might re-energize us in some other way, they'll just let us go on to our doom. You know, nobody tried to stop Hitler from marching into Germany. When he did that, the British Churchill said, well, now he won. So I don't think anybody will stop us in order to save the Iranians because they haven't got anything against the Iranians, but they got a lot against us. And if we self-destruct, it's easier for them. They don't like us anyhow. I mean, we're always bossing people around, criticizing them for sins that are a fraction of our own sins.
Dr. Roberts, stay there. Okay, stay there with us. We're going to come right back and finish up how you see this unfolding and taking phone calls. Stay with us. David, George, Steve, Todd, Mike, and many others. We're going to be on your phone calls here in about 5 minutes. I wanted to first get Dr. Roberts, who's an expert on the economy. He was the engineer of one of the biggest boom times in U.S. history during the 80s and the early 90s. And, of course, he headed up the Department of the Treasury policy. He called the shots there. Really honored that he spent so much time with us, and we appreciate that. Your call is coming up in a moment after I ask him where he thinks the economy is currently with these bank runs and commodities and the rest of it. Before we do that, two sponsors that make this radio show possible are really fabulous folks. One of them is Akola Blue, akolablue.com, big fat banner up on infowars.com. If you forget the web address, it's ecoloblue.com, acolablue.com, or 1-866-585-4044. What is it? I saw one of these a decade ago. It's put out by Hendrix. It's just an amazing system that gets as much as 7.5 gallons a day in humid areas. In desert, it gets about 2 gallons a day. It grabs it out of the atmosphere, and it puts it through 5 filters. Okay, and very easy to maintenance, and you can plug it into a solar panel if you want, or you use power to do it. An amazing system, acolablue.com, 1-866-585-4044, or check out the website, acolablue.com. Also, another sponsor, efoodsdirect.com. Look, I don't know what's going to happen, but if there's a 10% chance we're going to have a depression or World War III, and it's a lot worse than that, obviously. We can only hope to collapse like the Soviet Union. That's what all the experts are saying. Instead of just going on a Hitlerian event of endless war and national drafts and total martial law, you need to have storable food. They'll use food as a weapon. It's in the cards. You need to have storable food, high-quality, freeze-dried food. They got it in stock. It's where I've gotten storable foods 4 times and bought it for family. Wonderful people. eFoodsDirect.com, eFoodsDirect.com is the website. Huge banners at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Or give them a call, get a free brochure, a free audio CD about their product line. It's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. And before we go back to Dr. Roberts, I do want to then also remind everybody that Dr. Roberts has a best-selling book now in its second edition, The Tyranny of Good Intentions. You need to get it to see how they're setting up a total police state here in the United States. It's in bookstores everywhere. In fact, I was at the bookstore about a month ago and saw a stack of them sitting there. So be sure and get that. Even if you know all about this stuff, get it and give it to somebody that reads in your family who's not fully awakened, because that's the only way to stop this is educating people one step at a time. Dr. Roberts, briefly, because I want to go to calls while we have you, for people that want to talk to you. The economy, give us a rundown with your expertise on the current state of affairs and where you see it going.
Okay, Alex, you know, the situation is different than ever before. These financial instruments are different. The risks that people have taken are much greater. The damage is far more widespread. The most likely outcome, in my opinion, we're going to have an inflationary recession, serious recession, inflationary, not deflationary, because the Federal Reserve is going to supply the liquidity to make whole all of these bad investments. And therefore, there's going to be an outpouring of money, but it's going to have literally no effect in raising employment. So we're going to have high inflation, high unemployment. It's going to be a very difficult situation to get out of, because the policy levers just don't exist to deal with that kind of catastrophe. It's amazing that the government of the United States was capable of producing such an unholy mess. When you think, it wasn't that long ago that we had a very strong economy. Reagan gave us back the economy. We were growing without rising inflation. Everything was fine. It's just completely wrecked it. And they've now got a situation, as I said, that I think will be an inflationary recession that they will have no way to get out of. So it's not good. Nothing good. There's no leadership. There's no awareness. They're full of hubris. They still think they're a superpower. What can you do?
Isn't that the historically the worst combination, to have a retracting, contracting economy while you have inflation going into hyperinflation? Or is there any other? That's the worst.
That is the worst. You nailed it, Alex. You nailed it. That is the worst situation, and there's no obvious remedy. In fact, the remedy is so serious, difficult, and imposes such cost that people shy away from it.
Well, isn't that it? We have an infantile public that can't deal with interest rate hikes or with tariffs or with other things or with investment in manufacturing. They want things that are instant. And so instead, they're going to give us kind of the morphine, putting us into a coma and then economic death, collapse.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are not going to be able to afford anything. They're not going to have income. The government's going to pay its bills by printing money. And this great unipower will disappear off the face of the earth really quick. People have no idea how vulnerable we are. You know, the United States trade deficit is larger than the combined trade deficits of every other country in the world that's in deficit position. This is extraordinary. Our budget deficit is larger, the annual budget deficit of the government, than the combined budget deficit of every other country in the world.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
Alex, we finance these by foreigners lending us the money.
Mm-hmm. And then there's no industry to have the money to buy goods anymore, so it's going to cause a worldwide problem, isn't it?
We've got nothing to sell. We got nothing to sell to close the trade debt. And now that they've run up the oil price so much, the trade deficit must be somewhere over $1 trillion. I mean, it was $700-800 billion back when the oil price was $30 a barrel.
Let me ask you this:
$130. It's got to be, the trade deficit must be somewhere around $1 trillion. And the only way we pay for that is by turning over the ownership of our existing assets.
And that's happening now.
That's been happening. So now we're going to start giving them. Instead of giving them $700-800 billion a year of what we have, we can give them $1 trillion. That's our companies, you know, the all the natural resources. We're selling the toll roads to them, so they get the revenues from toll roads. The real estate, anything we can offer them.
How long until all that runs out?
It wouldn't last very long. You know, $1 trillion a year runs through wealth pretty fast. Even for a country that's, you know, been successful and accumulated.
So this brings a new meaning to the word looted.
Looted, yeah. We thought we were so smart. We were looting the world, getting all their goods, getting them to finance us, and handing them paper. But the paper comes back and buys up our assets.
The only question is, will the paper collapse completely before they can buy it all up? In a way, that might be good. Last question, we're going to go to calls. They are announcing, and it's in the housing bill, and I've got the bill right here. We had Ron Paul on about it today, that every credit card transaction will instantly be uploaded to the IRS. Major gas companies, ABC News reports, are going to make you register with a credit card to be able to buy gas to track everything you're doing. They're hiring more police, more checkpoints, more tickets. Every American newborn baby will be visited by CPS. That bill is about to pass. Turning carbon taxes, harassment. Government is just, as you know, tripled in the last 8 years. It just seems to be about to divide again and get even bigger, like a bacterial infection. And they just seem to just giggle and laugh and put black uniforms on and wave tasers at us and put up more cameras and just cackle and put skulls on the sides of police armored vehicles. And I mean, it seems like total mental meltdown. It appears like when cancer is racing through the body right before death. I mean, is that what you see this as? What's going to happen to all the thugs and all the scum and all the, I mean, it's not
they'll
only that.
They'll all have badges. You know, there's no reason for any of this to happen, and we certainly don't have any money to pay for it. And the Chinese aren't going to keep lending them all this money. I just don't know. If it's really going to be something like that, I think people should just leave the country. They should just get out.
Well, that's what your book is about. I mean, what is it now? I mean, what are they making? I mean, that's what they're setting up.
Well, what is the point of this credit card business and all of the purchases going to the government and visiting every child that's born by child protection? What is the point of all that? What purpose does that serve?
Total control.
Just to intimidate people, huh? Well, then what they'll do is they'll alienate everyone from the government. I don't know if that's good for them or not.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, well, I've got an ABC News report. We don't have time to play it today. You know what, John? Cue it up to the part. This is ABC News. I just want to play like 30 seconds of this before you leave us, after we take some calls. You know the one I sent you about the airport screeners? And it talks about, you know, a World War II vet with a metal knee. And they pulled his pants down in front of everybody.
Oh, I saw that. I sent you that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, that's why it's on our website. Thank you. And then they start beating their chest going, I have power! I have power! And then, like, just grabbing young women's breasts and like a woman asks a question, so they just punch her and knock her over. I mean, and I had that happen to me at LAX. They started making fun of me and saying my feet stunk, and I'd just had a shower. They were new shoes. They didn't. And these guys are standing over me saying, you got a problem? You want to make a move? I mean, this is, you want to comment on that? Where they're, I have power! I have power!
Well, I recently wrote a column, I think, about the airport Gestapo. I think it's about two columns back. And if you have any callers waiting, we should take them. And if you don't, we'll keep talking.
Oh, no, we have loaded phones, but I want to get your take on the I have power comment.
Well, those kinds of occupations, police, airport security, any of that stuff, attract sociopaths.
Peon sociopaths.
Bugs. They don't attract good people. They attract people that want to abuse people, but they ain't got enough guts to go join the Marines and actually have to go somewhere and get shot back at. So they like to have power where their victims are powerless. So they're cowards. They know it. All bullies are cowards. And so it's this massive bureaucracy that protects them.
Oh.
And, so that's the kind of people that take those jobs. When you create those kinds of jobs, you're creating homes, places, employment for those kinds of people.
Yeah, it's incredible. John, do you have that queued up yet? I have the power comment.
I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, great. We'll play in a few minutes. Let's go to calls. We're going to skip this break, too. David in Florida, you're on the air with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Thanks for holding.
How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm really thankful for what you do. I mean, you don't even know. But I'm calling because I heard, I just checked out this guy named Jeff Rentz last night, and he had a guy named Benjamin Fulford, and he's some bigwig Forbes guy or something.
Yeah, talking about how the Asian elites are sick of the New World Order and done with us.
Yeah, and they have a hit on them. Like, they're ready to die on August 8th if they don't.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that, but Fulford did write for Forbes, and he says that the Asian mafia, which is basically the heads of the Chinese and the Japanese governments, are threatening the New World Order. I appreciate your call. Let me get that's speculative, so we don't go there. But Dr. Roberts, I mean, we know in reality the Chinese and others are saying that they're done with all this.
Yeah, I think they're done with this, but they're the rising powers.
Yeah, they don't need to act like
it'll
a bunch.
It'll happen in our lifetime.
George in Indiana, you're on the air with Dr. Roberts. Go ahead.
Thanks, Dr. Roberts. You and Alex are doing a great job. I've got two or three comments and real quick ones, and then I have a question for you.
Go.
I went to Burger King yesterday to get me a fish sandwich, and on the drive-through window, it says no video filming or picture taking. I'm going to go in there and tell that manager I'm never eating there again until that comes down.
Well, I want to explain. They're going to surveil us, but then we can't surveil them back. And I've got tons of videos of cops walking up on city streets telling people don't take cam shots. Again, it's just more martial law. What's the other comment?
Absolutely. All right, on this guy that thinks he follows the Christian attitude, the second commandment says, make no image of heaven or earth or bow down to it. You see crosses everywhere. These people don't understand what they're worshiping. In Florida, there's a guy that says he is Jesus and the Antichrist, putting 666 on people, and they're following him around.
I hear you. Do you have any questions for Dr. Roberts? Because that's why we open the phones up.
Another thing, our government is not a department of offense. It's a department of defense. We shouldn't be attacking people with no provocation. What I want to ask you guys, though, is explain to everybody out there what it means when it says that those are with Israel, God is with them, those are against Israel, God is against them. Explain what that really means.
Well, I mean, it's not in the Bible. The prophets were coming and saying when Israel was bad and was going to go into exile, it's just made up, and it makes the Christian religion now Israel worship. Dr. Roberts?
Well, I think you nailed it.
I agree
with you, Alex.
It's just mindless cult worship. I mean, it's insane. And Israel doesn't like the Christian faith, you know, the government, so they have Hagee say Jesus is not Jesus. I mean, and they say, all right, he's bad. I mean, you know, these people will do anything they're told, folks. I mean, Hagee could dress up in a devil outfit and say, you know, have Anton LaVey in, and they'd bow down. Who's up next, George or Steve here? Steve in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead with Dr. Roberts. Any economic questions?
Hey, how's it going, Alex, Mr. Roberts? I got a question. Did any of you guys see that speech by George Bush that he addressed? He was actually addressing the nation, and he more or less informed us that our country wasn't going to be the industrial power that it used to be. We're moving toward data processing and service oriented industries. You guys remember seeing that?
Yes.
That's what we see now, right? We see the destruction of, you know, manufacturing and all these large corporations in this country disappearing.
Yeah, it didn't happen by accident. Dr. Roberts, you know, thinks that they just are a bunch of idiots, and I agree they are delusional, but they're engineering this. I mean, they know what they're doing, don't they, Dr. Roberts?
It's not just the manufacturing jobs either. It's all the data processing jobs, all the computer software jobs. It's any job that's tradable, that is, that doesn't have to be done hands-on, like a barber or a dentist or awaiting a table or fixing a drink.
You don't make
any
a living at that job.
Service can be offshored, and the reason they're doing it is because it dramatically lowers their cost of production, and they then can pay themselves a multi-million-dollar performance pay bonus.
Right.
It's a short-term thing for them, but does destroy the goose that lays the golden eggs.
What happens when China calls in their loans to us? What happens when they stop taking American dollars?
Yeah, the government can't pay its bills any longer. The U.S. government can't pay its bills if the Chinese don't buy its paper.
And that's why they're setting up work brigades and the million-man youth corps. Did you see Obama, Dr. Roberts, say that he wants a million-man teenagers spying on the American people last week?
I didn't see that. Well, then he's just now part of the problem, isn't he? I mean, all this stuff about change, it sounds like the only change he's going to bring is for the worse.
Well, now he's out talking the line of warmongering. That just, I mean, we know he's handled by the same crew.
That's right. I totally agree. It's the same crew. And what we mustn't overlook, though, is they're not the United States is no longer the powerhouse that they think it is.
Well, like you said, this isn't like a man who beats his wife every night with a tire iron and she's finally leaving. And he you know, he really tries to intimidate her when she's got everything loaded up. And he pulls a gun out and threatens to shoot her. I mean, I think we've gotten to that point. Would you agree with that analogy?
Well, if we pull a gun on China or Russia, we're going to get our clocks clean. So, of course, that's what McCain wants to do, apparently. And that's what the neocons.
McCain has the body language of a lunatic. Would you agree with that? I mean, he acts like, I mean, if I knew that guy in business, I would think he had a screw loose.
I think they call it testosterone poisoning. I think that's the psychological term for McCain, testosterone poisoning.
Yeah, he's definitely got a screw loose. Thank you, Steve. Todd in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to call in and make the point. It's funny how the people that are saying that you should follow the government and do whatever they say, they say follow those laws, are the same ones that actually reject the laws of God, but they say you got to follow man's laws, but don't follow God's laws. Does that make any sense?
No, that's right. They're the phony Christians that go out and have abortions and get, you know, get divorced five or six times. And I'm not even judging those people. The point is, they're the ones that do that, and they're the ones that'll steal from you in business. I mean, I grew up around a bunch of big Dallas preachers in the neighborhood I lived in, you know, upper middle class. My dad, and I saw them partying, and I saw them with the hookers next door, and I saw them with all that. And I'd see them on TV the next, you know, the next day on Sunday on Dallas television. Dr. Roberts, you're giggling.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think on the whole, the question is open whether or not there is a Christian religion. Maybe there's still something left in the Catholic Church. I think the Protestant churches have blown it.
By the Catholics, you mean at least they're still against abortion?
Well, I think they still believe that people have souls and that the purpose of religion is to save a soul.
And I guess the church has been against the war, too, so that's a...
Generally, they are against destruction of human life, whether it's war, abortion, capital punishment. They think life is something God gives. Be so squanderous of it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. We're into the final last few minutes now here, ladies and gentlemen. John, were you able to find that little subclip of that ABC News piece where they're going after the World War II vets and the 15-year-old girls and then beating their chest screaming, "I have power, I have power"? Did you find that?
It is ready.
Oh, let's go ahead and play this from ABC News.
So I took the belt off. He ran his hands down over and pulled the pants down. They went down around my ankles.
At that point, Perry was standing in his underwear in public view. He asked to see a supervisor. That made things worse.
She was yelling, "I have power, I have power, I have power."
The power to stop him from flying to Florida with his wife that day to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary.
Make you feel like you have no rights.
Perry says he always alerts TSA agents about his metal knee and wonders why they can't just check his leg.
If somebody told me that I'm going to save the people on the airplane by taking my pants off out in public on there, I wouldn't mind doing it. But this was not necessary.
TSA officials say that when the metal detector goes off, their agents must resolve what caused the alarm.
Dr. Roberts, we know this is by design. I mean, they want to train us how to be slaves, as you've said. And people need to know that now they have the body scanners where they videotape your naked body. And I'm not going through those. And you know, you watch that same video where they beat people up for just not even rudely talking back, and now they're killing people and they behind closed doors at airports. I mean, where is it going to end?
Well, when we stop being sheep, you know, this guy running around, "I have power." Somebody should have decked him. In fact, all the people there, there must have been hundreds of people waiting in those stupid lines. They should have attacked those transportation security people in mass and just beat the livid shit out of them. That's what they
should have. Oh, my God.
That's exactly what they should. They ought to pull these people, and they ought to strip them all. Parade them out of the building. And when the cops come, they ought to turn over their cars and do the same thing to them.
Well, you know, the Chinese
are... the people start standing up for themselves and realize that they're dealing with a bunch of fascist thugs.
Well, you know, the communist Chinese, their population is revolting and taking over cities every week, and they try to cover it up in the news, but the Chinese have a lot more spirit than we do.
And less to revolt about.
Well, that's true. In fact, it was in the article, when they put cameras up, the Chinese climb up and knock them down and throw fits. I mean, when communist China, in many respects, is more free than we are, we're in a lot of trouble.
I agree that they are. Yes, they definitely are more free than we are. I've been there recently. Definitely. And they don't have this fear of government. And the government's not trying to instill fear in the population.
Dr. Roberts, amazing interview. Your book out, second edition, updated and very powerful. Get it for everybody out there in your family who needs to understand the diabolical nature of the police state, the tyranny of good intentions. Sir, thank you so much for spending time with us, Dr. Roberts.
You're welcome, Alex. Goodbye.
Take care. What a way to end the show. More details, Willie Nelson and Jesse Ventura. Looks like it's probably going to happen. We just got to figure out in the next few months at short notice if we can get a venue big enough to do this. So that's up on the site. We're going into very bad waters here, but A lot of people are waking up, and we can say no to this. We got a bunch of sick social engineers doing all this by design, bringing us into a global crisis by design, and we have to learn to say no. My mom called up. She never calls the office. I don't think my mother's ever called the office in a decade plus of a radio show, said, wish your uncle a happy birthday, because he was on the show earlier today. I didn't know it was your birthday. Happy birthday. It's also Burmese's birthday. So you guys all have the same birthday there. All right, take us out of here, John. I don't hear my illustrious bumper music. I do want to encourage all of the listeners to please remember Rebroadcast with Ron Paul and everybody else, Jim Mars with his new book on the Nazis. It's all up on Infowars.com. Retransmission on the audio starts right now for internet listeners, for everybody else, back live tomorrow on the AM and FM dial. But the show starts again, all the stuff you missed. It's a new show for those that haven't heard it at Infowars.com.